much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. What time is it? What's going on?
Nothing important.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Is this a role that you would have wanted to play, Sean, had you been young enough for the role?
I was a good deal older than the guy when I first read it, so it never came to mind that way. I never could have or would or did consider that.
You could have gone comedy with it and been Spicoli. It changed the whole thing around.
Not at all, Kevin. No.
Well said, Kevin.
Absolute pure genius. Fabulous. Stand up and applaud. This one is top of the charts. Ah, that is exquisite. That is orgasmic. Mozart-like. It's just pure perfection. Beautiful. All the chemicals are bubbling. And all the equation comes out right in the end.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
All right, boys. Prepare to be dazzled.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over.
Jesus Christ is my...
Roll another one.
Shut your face.
Just like the other one.
That's a bunch of hogwash.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Kiss my ass.
Need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, Dick.
Roll another one.
And yes, we know that some of them are gay.
Just like the other one.
Who didn't invite me? Why didn't I get invited?
This one seems to be about to end.
Okay.
I don't have another cent.
Clear the airlanes. Clear all airlanes for the big broadcast.
Solo. Just pass it around.
Bang, bang, bang.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
You know what? That one really, really.
Just pass it on down.
And now.
You'll all get yours in hell, you lying, thieving, blanking blankers.
Our feature presentation.
I don't know that that's the attitude to start a new show. Come on.
Oh, rude.
Trying to have some fun. Hey, party people, welcome on into yet another Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Friday. It is the 24th of May, Memorial Day weekend. How's everybody? How are you, Lisa?
I'm great.
What are you doing for the holiday weekend, by the way?
Because
you just got back from world traveling, so I bet you're hanging out.
I'm staying close to home. Definitely going to catch a few movies.
Right.
Eat some food. Drink some wine. That's my weekend. And I love it.
I'm surprised wine is third on that list.
You're right. It's not really. I just want to say it that way.
How about you, Muggs?
Well, like Lisa, I'm going to eat all food
and
drink all wine and beer and cocktails.
So the way you spend every day.
Yes,
basically.
Exactly. Like a slovenly fat drunk, yes.
I was flirting with the idea, because I haven't been in a while, of heading up to Canada for the weekend. Because it's, so close. But then when Interstate 5 collapsed yesterday, I thought, well, maybe that's a sign that this isn't a good time to try to take that road.
What's up with your bridges?
What is up with? Well, I think a truck hit it, and it just a section of this bridge, for folks who didn't see it on the news, a section of this bridge over the Skagit River just fell into the water with cars on it.
Yes. Nobody died, which I'm amazed at.
Yeah. Only two cars apparently were on that little span right then, but right into the water. I mean, that's the last thing you expect when you're
That's the one that they didn't think needed retrofitting of any sort?
Yeah, it's on the inspection circuit, and they, it passes every time they check.
Thumbs
it.
Up.
They thought it was fine, but, much of this country has bridges that are, 50 years old, and there's going to be a lot more of this as things aren't getting replaced. So it's just kind of comes with the territory. But bad surprise if you're on that bridge.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine anything more terrifying.
Just crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get started, because we do have a quite a program for you today, I want to start with this. And I hope Ralph Garman is listening, because this story is going to blow his mind if he hasn't already heard about David Gonzalez. He is a man who buys and fixes up and flips houses up in Minnesota.
Okay.
He bought a house in Elbow Lake, Minnesota, only paid $10,100 for the house. While he was gutting it to be repaired and resold, he discovered what in the insulation behind one of the walls? A copy of the first Superman, 1938 Action Comics number one.
Yep.
Oh.
The most valuable comic book in the world.
Was it in good shape?
It was in good shape, yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. It was in there with a bunch of newspapers and other comics as part of the insulation. So, again, bear in mind, he paid $10,100 for the house. He takes it out into the other room and says, shows his in-laws and says, or I guess he takes it home, shows his in-laws, and they grab it from him. He holds on to it. They're grabbing it because they're so excited they can't wait to see it, and they tear the back cover, like a big chunk of it. They rip this comic book. So the last time an Action Comics number one went up for auction, it was a pristine copy that sold for more than $2 million. His copy, which wasn't in such good shape, as good a shape as that one to begin with, and now has a giant tear in it, is now on an auction site and is at just over $113,000. Still a pretty good investment on his home.
But he probably could have gotten closer to $1 million?
Yes. Yes. Oh. Yes.
Oh, nice job, dumbass.
His in-laws?
Yes.
Oh, I am getting rid of them.
Can you imagine?
No!
Oh, my God. You have something that's, I mean, look a gift horse in the mouth if you want. I mean, he paid $10,000 for the house. It's already going to bring over $100,000, but still, you're right. If it could have brought $1 million, what a difference.
The first thing you do is put it in like a plastic bag and you seal it, and then everybody can look through the bag.
Yes, that's the first thing you do. And he clearly knew what he had when he saw it, you know, but unbelievable story. I mean, that's a good news, bad news right there.
It really is.
It's got quite a tear that goes up about two-thirds of the back of the comic book. So
I just couldn't stop slapping them. I would have slap them for the rest of my life.
And no one would blame.
No.
All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show.
It is bull. It's total bull.
You're bull.
Fine, I'm bull.
You are.
Good.
That's the way that's going to go. Our old producer, Lightning's going to stop by today because he insists on gloating that he's the one who told everyone in the world that Fast and the Furious was going to be a sensation. And here we are with episode six coming out in theaters this weekend?
Yep.
So he's going to stop by and brag about that and bring us up to speed with where we are in this very complicated plot line that involves hot chicks and fast cars.
Oh, thank God.
Funny man Brad Williams on the program today, our favorite little person. He's got some shows at the Irvine Improv. He'll be joining us in the 7 o'clock hour. We're going to be taking calls from Never Nudes today. Now, this is in honor, of course, of Arrested Development. They've got a character who just never takes off his clothes, refuses to be nude, even when he's by himself. What's that about? It's a real thing, I'm told.
That's what I've heard as well. I can't imagine.
So I want to hear, we're definitely going to want to hear from people who have that, who can't stand to be naked, and also the people who try to date them and find out what that's like. Friday means the movie beat as well, and we also are going to continue to sign you up for the standby boarding list for K-Rock's Festival Flyaway Destination Number 1, which is Summer Sonic in Tokyo, Japan, a great show with Muse, Metallica, Smashing Pumpkins, Linkin Park, Imagine Dragons, and more. You can qualify for that coming up here pretty soon on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Ralph's got the showbiz beat next after this. It's 5:54 on the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock on a Friday morning. Hi, Ralph Garman.
Hello.
Got no monkey today. It's you and me, man. We're partying.
Yeah. Party.
Like we do.
Why? Because I said so.
Exactly, ladies and gentlemen. Time for our first look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Ain't no party like a bean party. We all know that.
Yes, we do.
That's the party you want to be at.
It's going off.
You want to be at a party with Bean, or you want to be on that bridge in Seattle? But either way, same feeling, same experience.
I can have this show put to bed by 7:30.
I know. Then you can go to a real party.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of partying, who likes it more than Amanda Bynes?
No one.
Apparently nobody. Here's what happened last night. Let me give you a little breakdown, a little step-by-step of Amanda's evening. A doorman in Amanda's building in New York City calls the cops when he notices that Ms. Bynes is smoking pot in the lobby, something they frown on at her apartment building. Well, they do in most public places, I'm guessing.
I think so.
She goes up to her room. The police arrive. Amanda lets them into her apartment, but that's when one of them spots a bong as she opens the door. That's when Amanda grabs the bong and throws it out the window.
Well, that works.
What bong? I saw a bong that... No, there's no bong here. You hear from the alley down below. Officers then arrested her on charges of reckless endangerment, tampering with evidence, and criminal possession of marijuana.
That must have been a moment of party.
It was a moment of party, Kevin. According to TMZ, and I like to believe this is true, you know what she was yelling at the cops as they were arresting her, Lisa?
Do you know who I am?
Don't you know who I am?
There it is.
She was wearing a platinum blonde wig during the arrest, which got all sort of askew and cockeyed over her head as they pulled her out of the building. She is just the hottest of messes. She was taken to Roosevelt Hospital to undergo a psychiatric evaluation. Well,
finally.
It's about goddamn time.
Yeah.
Then down to a Midtown police station to be processed. As of this morning, as far as we know, she's reportedly waiting in a holding cell, expected to appear in court this morning to be arraigned. So,
look, this seems crazy because it's Amanda Bynes. But who hasn't thrown evidence out a window when the cops are coming? I mean, that's pretty commonplace, right, on a lot of stories.
You don't do it once they're in the apartment. That's rare. Usually when they're banging on the door, and they, hello, police.
Yeah,
that's when people are flushing and throwing things.
Right.
You don't let them in.
Right.
You don't have the cops say, hey, what's that? Then you don't pick that thing up and throw it out the window in front of the cops.
No,
that
right.
doesn't happen so much.
Yeah, that doesn't help her.
She is bat-ass crazy, this one.
So we don't know what happened with the psych evaluation, if she's...
No, we don't. I'm sure it'll come up in court.
Yeah, okay.
But as of yet, at least as far as I've heard, she has not appeared in the courtroom yet. So we'll have to wait and see.
She's arrested right on schedule. I mean, we all predicted this, expected this, right?
Yeah, we knew it was going to matter.
Guilty!
Boy Scouts yesterday made history. When 60% of the vote came in, the Boy Scouts of America had lifted their ban on openly gay members.
That must have been a moment of party.
It was a moment of party, Kevin. You can now be a gay kid and be a Boy Scout. Of course, they still said there will be no gay scout leaders. Teaching boys everywhere in America that gay kid, is okay. Gay adult, not okay.
Get so, over it. Yeah. By the time you grow up, get over it.
We accept you now, but when you grow up, you will be shunned. It was the message the Boy Scouts were giving kids yesterday, so congratulations. Eva Longoria is more than just a hottie actress. She received her master's degree in Chicano studies from Cal State Northridge last week.
Really?
Wow. Congratulations, Eva, on furthering your education, even if it's
master's a master's degree.
BS subject.
Yeah, what do you do with that?
Chicano studies?
Yeah.
You watch a lot of reruns of Chico and the Man.
Right.
And, I don't know.
I mean, I guess she doesn't have to answer the question that many people ask who go for higher education, which is, how do I get a job with this?
Because what are you going to do with that degree?
Right. She has a job.
I continue to make movies and TV shows and be hot.
Look, I'm impressed with anyone who graduates from college, much less goes on to get a master's. That's good deal.
Yeah.
No bueno.
That was better than the week she had this week. Did you see her at the Cannes Film Festival? She was it was in the rain. She's at the Cannes Film Festival, and she's walking up the stairs to the main theater there. And she pulls her dress up to step up the stairs.
Yes.
And here's the thing. Her dress was slit all the way up to her hip.
Uh-huh.
And so she's pulling the dress up to keep it from getting wet, and she's not wearing any underwear. And, of course, all the photographers surrounding her were able to confirm the fact that she wasn't wearing any underwear, so. And something's going on down there. I don't know what's happening, but I was looking at the pictures, and I
what?
I don't know.
What, like, does
what
that
are
mean?
The options? What do you mean something's going on?
There's some sort of ripcord situation going on or something.
Oh, stop.
No, you look at the pictures, Lisa. You tell me what it is.
Okay. My eyes!
Something's happening. I don't know what's going on down there, but there's a lot of flesh color. And then there's what appears to be a white a string of some type.
Understood.
Okay.
Or
understood.
Some, I don't think you understand.
I think we got it.
You don't know. You weren't there.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Today's celebrity birthdays, UFC fighter Frank Mir is 34 years old today. Allison Hannigan. Who do we love more than Allison Hannigan?
No
way.
She's
awesome.
She's abandoned us. She never comes on the show anymore.
Right.
She's, got, like,
she's over us.
Seven
her
kids
nonsense.
Or whatever. But we love her. 39 years old.
What's her show? She's How I Met Your Mother, right?
Yeah.
Right.
John C. Reilly's 48 years old. Super talented actor. Alfred Molina celebrates his 60th birthday. Tommy Chong, 75. And singer Bob Dylan.
How
friend
about
of the show,
that?
Bob Dylan, 72 years old today. Boy, you know what? When he gets old, he's old now. When he gets even older, I bet he's going to be hard to understand. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, one of the highlights of the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2013 of Monsters and Men out of Iceland here on the world-famous K-Rock. They had played the year before, and the difference in their show, not just the difference in how much people knew and loved their music in the year that had passed, but the difference in their stage presence was incredible. I mean, they have really turned into a terrific live act.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of other bands that we saw last Saturday, including AWOL Nation and the Black Keys, also Imagine Dragons, all coming up here on the Kevin Amin Show. Ralph's got the movie beat in a few minutes, too. Anthony Weiner, back in the news. Lisa?
Anthony!
Remember him, your old friend?
Yeah.
It's so funny. It used to be, there was a time in this country where you resigned in disgrace, and that was the last you were ever heard of. You pretty much just stayed in your house and just wept. But now people wait like a year, 2 years, and they go, I'm ready to come back. And the American people turn out to be very, very forgiving. For folks who don't recognize the name, he was the congressman from New York who ended up having to resign because it turned out that he was tweeting pictures of his junk, basically,
yes.
To chicks all over the country.
Yes.
And for some reason, people thought, well, maybe he's not the best choice to represent me in Congress. So he resigned, and he laid low for a little while. And a while ago, he started an exploratory committee to see if maybe the people were ready to forgive him and forget. And he determined that he was popular enough that he could now run for the mayor of New York City.
Well, remember the dude that lied and went to Argentina to be with his mistress, and then
yes.
He left, and now he's been reelected. So
yep.
Apparently, why not?
There was a mayor in Washington, D.C. who was caught doing crack cocaine with a hooker. He went to prison, got out of prison, ran for office again, and became the mayor again.
That's right.
So
USA!
Exactly. So I don't know what it's going to be like for Anthony Weiner. I don't know if it's the type of thing that it's just going to, you know, everywhere he goes, people are going to want to do nothing but talk about his penis, or if it's the type of thing that he's going to be willing to, you know, put behind him and move on. But we wanted to find out what the plan is and how it's going in the early days. So we have the congressman on the phone with us right now, Mr. Weiner. Welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
Well, we're doing fine. We were a little bit surprised to see you running for mayor, but you know, a longtime New York City resident, and you say the people like you and support you, and you think you got a shot at it.
Absolutely. And that's why I'm back, because I love this city, and I think mm-hmm. I have a lot to offer. And I'm not about to allow anything that happened in the past to keep me from public service, which I truly believe is my calling.
And by the way, it's worth mentioning that your wife stayed with you, and you now have a child together, and she's your biggest supporter, and she says you're going to be a terrific mayor because you love the city, too.
Absolutely. Don't get me wrong. It has been a long and hard road to travel, and it's good to be back, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what the future has to offer.
Speaking of long and hard, Mr. Weiner, it's very difficult to just be in the public eye, even if the scandal hadn't happened, with the last name of Weiner. That's the type of thing that you're kind of automatically giving people who don't support you the opportunity to kind of just unfairly, perhaps, snicker at your last name.
Yeah, but you have to remember it's been my name for as long as I've been alive, so I'm used to it, and I don't mm-hmm. even recognize you know, anything strange about the name, but I understand what you're saying, but I don't think really it's a factor or will be a factor in the mayoral race.
Especially when, you know, you have a last name of Weiner and then you're involved in a scandal with photographs that involve your Weiner.
Yeah, yeah, and it's not ideal, but I'm not about to let people's opinion of my name or anything I may have done in the past dictate what I do in the future. I'm just not going to do that. It would just... Hold a second.
What's happening?
My cell phone. That's my ringtone.
That's your ringtone?
Seems
yeah.
inappropriate.
Well, I don't understand. It's just it's my ringtone. Let me just turn that off. Sorry about that. Now, listen, I like my chances.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't want to seem cocky, but I think that I think there's an excellent chance that I will be elected mayor, and, you know, not to have a swelled head about the situation, but I think people of New York will recognize what I have to offer for them. Listen, this is a large, throbbing metropolis, and there's a lot of great people in it. I think I can relate to people of all creeds, We've got one of the most diverse populations in America.
Yeah.
I was talking to my neighbor yesterday, Mr. Wang, an Asian gentleman who has some real issues that he wants addressed by a mayor, and I think that I can do that. Oh, hold on a second.
Another call coming in, yeah, Congressman. What's happening there?
Okay, let me just turn that off.
Yeah. What kinds of things have people been saying to you on the street as you meet people? Are people willing to accept and forgive and forget, as we thought?
Yes, I think much more so than the press, citizens are more concerned about what you can do for them as a politician than any past indiscretions. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of what the press prints, quite frankly, is nothing but fallacies. And I find a lot of their arguments flaccid, quite frankly, when they talk about me. Listen, I'm a multitasker. Mm-hmm. I can keep a lot of balls in the air. And any criticism against me, I think, is just in vain.
Hold on a second. Oh, wow, that phone just won't stop ringing.
Well, as you can imagine, there's a lot of phone calls. Listen, don't get me wrong. I recognize that I'm up against some stiff opposition. But I feel I can hold my head erect in any public forum and really get my point across. I always go back to my college days when I was on crew. And when you hear that coxswain just yelling, stroke, 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 you just have to buckle down and get the job done. I mean, to use another sports metaphor, I am ready to strap on my helmet, go out there on the field, and score a touchdown.
Well, I don't see any reason why anyone would ever think about your penis when you talk like that. I think you'll be fine.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to take this. This is my campaign manager, Mr. Baby's Arm Holding Enough.
Time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's movie beat. Welcome to my world.
Speaking of movies, before we get to this weekend's movies, I want to thank all the listeners who came out to the Arc Lights last night to see that special screening of Now You See Me with the Q&A afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
a great time. Really enjoyed the film, and the Q&A afterwards was great. Jesse Eisenberg and Isla Fisher and the director Louis Leterrier, they were all there, and it was a big success. And a lot of our listeners were there, and they were saying nice things about the show. So very nice to meet a lot of them. Thanks for coming out.
That Isla Fisher, she seems like a pretty good deal.
Boy, is she adorable. Funny and sexy and beautiful and just one of the guys, you know, a body sense humor. She was a lot of fun.
Can't wait to see that movie.
Jesse Eisenberg, too. Good guy. Let's talk about the movies coming out this weekend. Now You See Me comes out next weekend. We'll talk more about it then. But this weekend, you've got Before Midnight. This is the third in the Before franchise.
Mm-hmm.
I've never known a romantic franchise before, but this certainly is one.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Linklater returns as director. Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy star in the third installment of the relationship between Jesse and Celine. Now we meet them almost two decades after they first met on that train bound for Vienna, if you saw the first film, which was before Sunrise.
Sunrise,
right?
Yeah.
And then what was the second one? After,
wasn't it
after sunset
midnight?
Or after midnight?
After something, yeah.
But noon, 12:30, see at the cafe? I can't remember.
And for folks who haven't seen these movies, they just walk around and talk, right?
They sure do. It's about feelings. It's a lot about their feelings.
Yeah.
Some ladies love them. That's why they made three of them. And then there's me.
They seem like a real couple, those two, too.
They do.
Don't they?
They
seem
they're
very
real
believable
chemistry.
Together.
Here's some clips from the trailer of Before Midnight.
Oh. You never stop ogling girls.
I don't ogle girls. I make love to them with my eyes.
Oh, wow. I'm stuck with an American teenager.
I feel close to you.
Yeah.
But sometimes, I don't know, I feel like you're breathing helium and I'm breathing oxygen.
What makes you say that?
I wanted you to say something romantic in your book, okay?
You are the mayor of Crazy Town. Do you know that? You are.
This is how people start breaking up.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Okay, there's that.
Sounds
it's been 20
light.
Years,
it
you
is,
know?
It's for the fans of that franchise, and they will enjoy it, I am sure. Animated film opens up this weekend called Epic, from the people who brought you Ice Age. Cast is impressive in this one. Colin Farrell is one of the voices. Joss Hutcherson, Beyonce Knowles, Amanda Seyfried. The plot is a teenager finds herself transported to a deep forest setting where a battle wages between the forces of good and evil, and she has to band together with a group of ragtag characters in order to save their world and her own. Epic. is the name of the film. Here is a scene where the teenager tells these mini warriors that she deals with that somehow she got shrunk down to size.
Where are we?
Oh, it's where this guy lives.
Most stompers just come and go, but this guy's relentless.
Wait, stompers?
Yeah. You know, like us, but big and dumb and slow, always stomping on things.
He's my dad. I'm a stomper.
What happened? You got shrunk?
Yes!
Seriously?
It's been a weird day for everybody.
The kids will love it.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Take your kids. And take your slightly older kids to Fast and Furious 6, like Lightning. Take a kid like Lightning to Fast and Furious 6.
I like it. They drive really fast.
I told you, it's going to be great. It's the best.
Here's your franchise sixth installment with Vin Diesel, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Paul Walker, Michelle Rodriguez. The whole gang's back together again. Here's the basic plot line. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Agent Luke Hobbs, has to enlist Dominic Toretto, played by Vin Diesel, and his team to bring down a former special ops soldier.
Wow.
He is the leader of a unit that specializes in vehicular warfare. That's right, you heard me. They made up a thing. Vehicular warfare is what this guy specializes
Didn't
in.
They used to just, in the old movies, just see who could drive 100 yards faster?
Yeah, they used to race and transport drugs and guns, I think. But now they're taking down a guy who specializes in vehicular warfare.
I don't All even right? know what that is.
That's when you wage war on someone, but you use your vehicle to do it. You throw cars at them. Here's a scene between Michelle Rodriguez and Vin Diesel talking before they decide to race to see who's faster and who's furiouser.
Got some serious falls, man.
I've been told.
No, you're lucky I missed my shot.
I think you hit your mark.
Really? What is it with you? What, do you got a death wish or something?
That's what it takes. I just want to race.
Might lose your car.
Let's do it.
Your funeral.
Ride or die, remember?
Wow.
I feel like every single line out of Vin Diesel's mouth, he sounds like he's trying to do that Schwarzenegger line for the trailer.
It's just all euphemisms and taglines.
Yeah, totally.
I hear it's Shakespeare.
That's what I've heard, too.
That's what
everything
says,
comes
right?
out of Vin's mouth is Shakespeare.
Yes.
Heard you got balls, so they say. You gotta go. I got a death wish. Whatever gets it done. Yeah. I'm the disease. You're the cure.
Did they
use a catchphrase with this guy?
Did they use one of those programs to generate a script? Just type in some details and let it go?
He went to Google and typed in cliche, and the script came out. So, but you don't go to see Fast and Furious 6 for the sparkling dialogue and witty banter.
No.
You go to see vehicular warfare. That's
right. Because that's a thing now.
And the biggest movie of the weekend, for some, maybe most anticipated, the last and third installment of the Hangover trilogy is released today.
And final, right? Please say
That's
final.
That's what they're saying. This is the okay. end. This is it. They're saying this is it. When they say this is it.
All right.
It's the gang back together again. Director Todd Phillips reunites Bradley Cooper, Ed Helms, Zach Galifianakis, Justin Bartha, and of course our good buddy Ken Jeong. This time there's no wedding, there's no bachelor party. So what could possibly go wrong, right? Nothing.
Right.
This is just about a pleasant weekend in Vegas where nothing bad happens. But that's until Zach Galifianakis tells Bradley Cooper that he thinks he got an email from their pal Mr. Chow.
Fatty, feels good to be out. I'm close by. Tell no one. I'll be in touch. Chow.
This says Chow. How did you not know this was from Chow?
At the time, I thought it was Chow like goodbye. You know, like Chow, arrivederci, sabato, papa Chow.
I'm writing him back.
Whoa, wait, just hold on.
And tell him that you're happy he's out and that you'd love to see him.
Ooh, I would love to see him.
Do you even know what's going on?
Yes, I do. Phil's doing all the work, I'm his assistant, and you're standing there looking like an idiot.
Okay.
Hangover 3. Theaters
I guess,
everywhere this weekend.
Yeah.
Now with fewer jokes than Hangover 2? Is that the slug line for this? Or
look, I always thought the premise of Hangover was so strong and perfect that doing a second film was going back to the well once too many times. This looks a little bit like another warmed-over rehash of what we've seen come before. But look, they're very funny and talented and likable actors, all the guys in the cast. I'm sure there are worse ways you could spend an afternoon than to check out Hangover 3. Maybe they'll put that on a poster. There are worse things you could do than see this movie.
There are millions of people who cannot be stopped from going to see this, and they'll probably enjoy it.
Absolutely. So, here's to you. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
I'll let you know
is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
Brad Williams, our favorite little person.
So I'm talking this mic right here?
Yeah,
is this
that,
the one I
that mic.
Yes.
And then
yes,
see where your volume
that,
is right
that's
there.
That's how it works.
The gold part. The gold part.
Okay, gotcha. Stand by. Stand by, everybody. Brad Williams, our favorite little person, joins us in studio for the 7 o'clock hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. He's got some stand-up coming up. First, former producer of The Kevin and Bean Show, Lightning, has joined us in studio. Hi, Light. You don't miss the show at all, do you?
I do. You know, holds a special place in my heart.
Do you want to do a mic
right,
check before
right
we start?
The, what's that?
A mic check?
Check, check. 1, 2, 1, 2. Yeah,
it's
that's
legendary.
All you get.
Good sound.
Check, check. 1, 2, 1, 2. Check, check. 1, 2. Check.
Legendary tape right there. There you go.
Yep.
I got an email. The reason we wanted to have Lightning on particularly today is I got an email from him a couple of days ago. This is what's awesome about Lightning is he never forgets a thing. He goes back years to type this. I told you guys Fast and Furious was going to be good. You guys mocked me when the first movie came out, and now look, the sixth one's getting ready to come out. So what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed
sounds
to
just like me there, Pete.
Are we supposed to apologize? Are
is
we
there
supposed
something
to,
we should give you?
Is
see,
it all hail Lightning? What are we supposed
see,
to do
See, you
here?
Don't remember the ribbing that you gave me back then.
I'm
You're
sure
like,
you deserve
it's
it.
It's a dumb movie. It's no, you know... You just didn't – you couldn't wrap your heads around a movie based around cars. And at that time, the car culture, the import tuner culture was so massive. And I was in it and you guys made fun of me for my trucks and my lowered cars and the whole thing. And I'm like,
right.
You guys have no idea how popular this whole movement is
I think we,
around the
we
world.
Knew, we knew that there were people like that. We just didn't want to associate with any of those people.
Well,
that's
yeah.
what it was.
So I can't blame you. Right. But
and I think some of it also, Lightning, was that it was just – the title of the movie was Fast and Furious, which I know now we're used to hearing it and it just sounds like a normal movie title. At the time, it was hilarious to me that they would name a movie that.
It was retarded. And it still is retarded. I've never been behind the movie. It had several titles before they got off the ground and the director. Somebody changed it the last minute.
Yeah.
Like literally last minute from what I understand.
Do you like these movies? I know you love the culture and you thought it would be popular, but do you like them? Because you've seen them all.
I have seen all but one, and which we'll talk about in a second. I do enjoy them. You know, the way that Kevin goes to see movies and they're just brainless movies and you leave and you're like, oh, that
loud.
Was a good romp. Yeah, that way I do enjoy it. And I like seeing the cars kind of the same way that Ralph likes to go see the new gadgets in a 007 movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I like going right. to see the modifications they've done to cars and that whole thing. So, I mean, the car culture propelled the first movie into the stratosphere. I mean,
right.
and they have since they've stuck with it this whole time. The movies, a lot of them have sucked. But we still enjoy them in some sadistic way. Like we need that car culture in our lives, and so we throw down our money and go see the movie. And
it's incredible that I mean there are very few franchises in movie history that have had six movies, and they already have the seventh one scheduled, I think, for next spring. Now six is in theaters this weekend,
right?
Do you have to have seen any of the previous ones to be able to walk into a Fast and Furious movie?
I think you kind of you should. You should. I mean, you could have a good time. For instance, my kids, right? I have a 7-year-old who's going to see it at some point, and he hasn't seen the others, but he'll enjoy it. But I can bring you up to speed pretty quick if you want.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's
absolutely.
No way I'm sitting down and watching the others.
So you've got the first one, right? This is the Fast and the Furious. It was like take the script of Point Break and put in Mitsubishis. That's number
okay.
one. So you got Paul Walker who plays a cop who goes undercover to investigate a group of underground street racers who's been knocking off some big rigs filled with electronics.
I think I saw this
right.
One.
So he gets in good with Vin Diesel, an East LA street racer, and becomes part of his family. And then he falls for Vin's sister. When he finds out that Vin's group is actually stealing the stuff. He lets him go because he's now part of the family.
Okay.
Skip to number 1.5 that most people haven't seen. It was on some bonus material on the first movie. There was a ton of plot holes that they had to fill in. So you watch 1.5 and it explains how Paul Walker's character went from cop to outlaw Miami street racer. So then you go to number 2, Too Fast, Too Furious.
Okay.
We find Paul on the lam in Miami making money on street races organized by Ludacris. The cops catch up to Walker, and instead of throwing him in jail, they force him to go undercover to get
Again.
In good. Yes, right, to get in good with a big-time Miami drug lord as his driver. But, of course, Walker can't do it without his high school buddy, Tyrese.
Oh, Tyrese, yep. Okay.
The guys team up with Ding Ding Eva Mendez, who plays the part of an undercover FBI agent posing as the drug lord's girlfriend. They jump a car from a dock onto a moving yacht to save Eva Mendez, and then they proceed to kill the drug dealer. Right?
That
so
sounds
all
very
plausible,
realistic,
right?
And very possible.
Okay. So then, number three, the one that we all wish didn't get made, Tokyo
Drift. Tokyo
Drift?
Yeah,
Tokyo
that's...
Drift. Now, exactly. I remember you trying to defend that.
No, I did not.
Before you went.
No,
but
I did not.
But you thought drifting was cool, though,
drifting,
right?
You love drifting.
Drifting is cool, was cool, but this movie didn't have any of the original cast, didn't have... It was just a mess from the get-go, and everyone kind of just boycotted it, and they could have jumped the shark. But then, in number four, they brought it back to its roots... Fast and Furious. So you've got Paul.
That's different from The Fast and The Furious.
They just
right?
shortened it.
Seriously?
Exactly.
Okay.
Right, to, right to the core.
That's all they did.
That's all they did. So then they've got Paul Walker now working for the FBI in LA, who teams up with Vin to bring down a heroin dealer. So the movie wasn't very good, but had a pivotal plot twist in the end with Letty. This is played by Michelle Rodriguez, who gets blown up in the end of the movie. So now all hell breaks loose as we go into number five. Fast Five. So
okay,
Fast
now hold
five.
On a second. Now, Michelle Rodriguez is back in six, though, but she died in four?
Yeah, so all of five, they think she's dead.
Okay.
Yeah, so in Fast Five, we start with Vin's crew getting busting him out of jail, and the entire family flees to Brazil. And to make some extra cash, Paul Walker and Jordana Brewster boost some high-end cars from a moving train, which, of course, is plausible. The whole thing goes awry when some FBI agents wind up dead. Paul Walker gets wrongly accused of killing some FBI agents, so the U.S. sends down who? The Rock and his elite team of task force to round them up. Vin and The Rock play cat and mouse for a while, and then Vin ends up saving The Rock's life.
Why not?
Paul Walker knocks up Jordana Brewster, so they decide to leave Brazil so they can go to a country with no extradition. But to do that, they've got to come up with some serious cash so they can live the rest of their lives. They decide to steal a drug lord's entire safe full of cash right from the police station in which it's cemented.
What?
Yes. They break the safe free and drag it down the streets of Brazil behind two Dodge Chargers. They get away with all the cash, and The Rock lets them go as payback for saving his life. Now you're up to speed for number six.
Ladies and gentlemen,
wow.
How about that?
Wow.
So we can walk in there and just enjoy the hell out of it.
Right? So number seven is going to be even better with Jason Mother Effin Statham.
I like him. Yeah.
Right?
You know hey, I got to give him some credit for casting, man. They are definitely putting the right people. I mean, people wake up and pay attention when you get, guys. Like The Rock or somebody like that joins the franchise. That's a great casting choice right there.
So the movies blow, but they are fun.
Okay. Exactly.
Yeah, so there you go.
All right, Lady, you get the credit. Thank you, Lisa. Our friend Brad Williams joins us after the top of the hour here on a Friday morning Kevin and Bean show. Right now, Ralph Garman has the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
They should call the fast lane the Fast and Furious lane, Lisa.
Yes,
like
they should.
I like cars. They should. This weekend, call the Fast and Furious lane.
That is classic.
So happy today.
No little boy's ever been more excited.
He's already seen the movie once, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Of course he went to see it before it came out, but he's going back.
At least. It is the big holiday weekend, of course. Memorial Day is upon us. Everybody barbecuing? Anybody barbecuing this weekend?
I'm sure, yeah.
A lot of beer muck. Everyone's excited for barbecuing like lightning is for Fast and Furious.
Right.
Smithsonian Magazine asked its readers if they could choose anyone to have at their barbecue this holiday weekend, anyone in history, who would you choose?
Farrah Abramson?
did not make the list, Kevin. Now, I will give you this caveat that number one answer was my family.
Boo.
You see them every day.
That's one of those
answers. Like anyone in history could be dead family members.
Oh, maybe. I think big ghost barbecue would be cool. But here's the rest of the top 10. I think you'll find it interesting. Number 10, according to Smithsonian Magazine, Mark Twain.
He would be an interesting dude.
He would be a good time,
yep.
That Mark Twain. Number 9, Albert Einstein. I can't imagine him being a good time at a barbecue.
No.
He would just tell you how the heat speeds up the molecules in the meat,
right.
And how the you don't need that. George Washington, 8th.
Who thinks of George Washington?
He couldn't eat corn with those teeth.
The wood teeth, it would pop right out.
Yeah.
He'd eat corn in the cob. Another bad answer. Leonardo da Vinci.
He'd be interesting.
No.
You don't think so?
Dumb.
He'd probably do a portrait of you.
Oh, great.
But when he left the barbecue, imagine how much that portrait of from Leonardo da Vinci would be worth.
Yes.
That's true. You could sell something.
Totally worth it.
6, John Adams. Oh.
No.
Hear him bitching about taxation? Do you really want John Adams at your barbecue?
Who did they interview this? People who work for the Smithsonian?
No, these are readers of Smithsonian Magazine.
But there
it was.
Readers of Smithsonian.
Yeah, people who read Smithsonian Magazine. John Adams was 6th. 5th, Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, that I could see.
Of course.
No, you don't want
that. And you could invite black people to the barbecue, too. There'd be no problem.
That's true. You would welcome them.
He'd be cool with that.
But Abe would also be leaking brains all over the salad, and you don't want that.
And well, he's a very depressed man.
Yeah,
I think you get him alive.
Yeah, right, Lisa. When he was alive, he was depressed.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, you don't invite his bitchy wife with him, I'll tell you that.
Reedy voice of his, and he'd spend all the time splitting rails in the backyard. You don't need that. Although, could come in handy, you know, at my barbecue. Jesus was fourth on the list.
He is not Jesus coming to my barbecue.
Come on, Jesus would be the best. You run
he
out of wine
fourth?
At your barbecue. Who do you want? You want freaking Jesus. Hey, what, you got any sparklets? Yeah, okay. Watch me turning this into Merlot. Boom. There you go. Partay.
I think he'd have a lot of things to talk to
Jesus
me about.
Jesus was a partay guy.
Yeah, Jesus would have some questions about your choices in the past,
I
Lisa.
Think so.
Let he without sin cast the first charcoal briquette, he would say, and he would just let everyone just be who they are. Thomas Jefferson, third on the list. You could also invite black people, Thomas Jefferson.
That's
especially
right.
Especially the black ladies.
Maybe Sally could come with
That's
him.
That's right.
Right.
And as I mentioned, number one was your family, but number two, so in essence, the biggest response for a historical figure, mm-hmm. Ben Franklin. Ben Franklin was number one on the list.
Okay. He was a party.
He liked to booze and carouse.
He did.
Yep.
And
womanize.
Yeah.
He could fly a kite and you have electricity if you needed it. You could get you some. All the time. Amanda Bynes is just spectacular. I love her on every possible level.
She's a party.
She was arrested last night.
I want
night.
Her at my barbecue this
yes.
weekend.
She was arrested last night in her Manhattan apartment. Here's how it went down according to WNBC-TV. Amanda was smoking pot in the lobby of her apartment building. How badly do you need to smoke pot if you can't wait to get to your apartment before you have to smoke a bowl?
Maybe she thought she was in her apartment.
That's true.
I understand she lives on the 36th floor of a building, which is a long time to wait when you really, really need it.
Well, spark it in the elevator, but just wait to get out of the lobby at least. The doorman called the cops. They went to her apartment. She opened the door and let them in, and that's when one of the cops spotted a bong. When she opened the door, that's when she allegedly tossed it out the window in front of the cops.
Was that a moment of party?
It was a moment of party, Kevin.
That's 36 floors. A little dangerous.
Yes, that's why they arrested her for reckless endangerment. So what if someone had been under that bong 36 floors high?
Would have exploded on impact.
She was also charged with tampering with evidence and criminal possession of marijuana. According to TMZ, she was yelling at the cops as she was being arrested, "Don't you know who I am?" To which they responded, "Oh yeah, we know." She was taken to Roosevelt Hospital to undergo a psych evaluation, then to a Midtown police station. And as of right now, as far as I know, she is still in a holding cell awaiting to be arraigned in court this morning. So we'll keep you posted if there's any update on that story.
Do you think she makes enough money off residuals from her TV and movies to live comfortably, Ralph?
I am guessing that's all she has to live on, so she must be. She can afford a pricey apartment in Manhattan.
A private jet that she was getting
well,
on?
Well, that was a friend's jet.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was someone was going to give her a ride, but she didn't have any ID.
Yes.
Except for Google. Google me, she said. And congratulations to Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. They have the number one single in America this week. "Can't Hold Us" is number one for third week in a row with Macklemore.
Great song.
Lewis, so congratulations to those guys.
Let me break with that.
The seafood restaurant they have there, Macklemore and Schmidt's, also just an ad.
That's McCormick Schmidt.
You're
thinking something else. Here's a clip of that for folks who aren't familiar with they don't listen to the hip hop.
Balls, 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 balls.
Wow, that is a good song. I can see why it's number one. Good week for those guys, by the way. They have just been hired by the Pepsi Frito-Lay Corp to be part of the rebranding of Cracker Jack. They are going to be doing some music and some theme for Cracker Jack, the snack food.
Now, I have a question about that, Ralph.
Wait, let me get to this. Let me get
please,
this
yes.
Before you go any further. The reason they're re-unveiling the snack is because they've renamed it.
Really?
It is no longer going to be Cracker Jack.
Wow.
It is now going to be Cracker Jacked. I'm not kidding.
You are kidding.
Cracker Jacked.
But that's not true.
J-A-C-K apostrophe D. Now the kids will be snacking on Cracker Jacked.
That's a terrible idea.
Yo,
you're making that up.
I am not. Cracker Jacked.
Oh, boy.
It's now Cracker Jacked. That is jacked up, that snack. It's jacked.
Come on.
It's real. It's
are
happening.
We gonna have to adjust that when we sing at the ball games?
Yes, you have to change the lyrics now. Buy me some peanuts, I'm Cracker Jacked.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
My question was going to be, outside of baseball games, does anyone ever buy Cracker Jack for any reason?
No, and I think that's part of the reason they're trying to rebrand Cracker Jacked. They've also hired West Coast Customs to design some new cool vehicles for Cracker Jacked. And actress Ashley Tisdale will now be their spokesperson.
They are going all out.
Oh, how many more boxes do you think you're going to sell to make up for the fact that you're paying Macklemore and Lewis, Ashley Tisdale, and West Coast Customs to work for you?
So it's the Fast Cracker and the Furious Jacks? That's what they're going for, basically?
That's what they're calling it now, yes. Cracker Jacked.
Wow.
That just happened. If they sell one more box with the apostrophe D, I would be shocked.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Frank Mir of the UFC is 34 years old today. Allison Hannigan turns 39. John C. Reilly. Is there a more talented actor than John C. Reilly?
You'd be hard-pressed to name one. He's terrific.
Is there a guy who can do drama and comedy as easily as John C. Reilly? 48 years old today. Alfred Molina turns 60 years old. Tommy Chong, he's crackerjacked. He is 75.
I wonder how he's celebrating today. I wonder what he's going to do.
I'll tell you what he won't be doing. Throwing his bong out the window. Tommy would rather throw himself out the window than throw a bong out the window. And Bob Dylan celebrates his 72nd birthday today. Happy birthday to me. I'm Ralph Garman. I welcome to Showbiz.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ, K-Rock's Festival Flyaway Destination Number 1. You can get yourself on the standby boarding list to go to the Summer Sonic Festival in Tokyo, Japan. Brad, you might be the tallest person in Tokyo, Japan, at least if you went there, right?
Yeah, I'd be average.
Muse, Metallica, Smashing Pumpkins, Linkin Park, Imagine Dragons, and more. We got it for you again at 9:10 this morning here on the world-famous K-Rock. Ladies and gentlemen, the two-time defending champion of Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, our friend Brad Williams.
Two-time defending champion, All-American. Woo!
Brad has been traveling like crazy since the last time he stopped by, but he is back in Southern California for two big weekends of shows, including tonight and tomorrow night at the Improv in Irvine, and then next weekend, Friday and Saturday, you're going to be at the Ice House in Pasadena. So welcome home, buddy. How you been?
Thank you. And actually, the show's next week at Pasadena. I'm actually recording a new album at those shows. So, so if you want to come out and be in the audience for my new album, so you can, like, listen to the album and be like, that's me puking in the corner, then come on out for it. It'll be great.
Why do you want to tell people you're recording an album? Doesn't that just encourage people to yell out so that they can be heard on the recording when it comes out?
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm fine with that. Come out and, you know, do your best, man. It's going to be fun. And I'm just glad that I get to be home for, like you say, I get to be home for a few weeks because I was on the road for so long. Yeah. And then because I was on the road for so long, I thought, well, I'll take a vacation. So I actually just got back from Mexico yesterday.
I saw that. Now this is weird, Brad, because I know that you love the ladies, but it was a surprise to me to see that you went on vacation with your podcast partner, Adam Ray, because that's how rumors get started in show business. Is when you and Adam are laying on the beach together, people are like,
you have no idea how true that is. and we didn't do anything to expel those rumors either. We literally got a couple's massage on the beach.
Nice.
Well, because they're like, well, we could take you in like 5 hours separately, or we could do it now as a couple's massage. I was like, well, Adam, let's saddle up. Yep. And and speaking of the podcast, we actually just got picked up by, we switched companies. Now I'm actually working for my April Foolishness rival. It's Jay Moore's Fake Mustache Studios. So now we're back under them.
So About Last Night is going to be available through those studios, but still available for – you can still subscribe on iTunes for people who want to, right?
That is correct. And, yeah, so me and Adam, we get to the airport, and as we land, Adam likes to partake in a little of the herbal.
Mm-hmm. Understood. You know?
And Adam is a Jewish American, and then we get off the plane, and there's a German Shepherd, and the German Shepherd just starts going at Adam, like just like barking like crazy, and I just start laughing because it's like, yeah, of course, the German's going after the Jew again. They're like, we do not want him in our country. Be going no. And turns out it was just residue that he had from like the week before, so he didn't actually have it. But we have
drug sniffing dogs at the airport in Mexico.
Yes,
were you in Cabo?
Yes, I was in Cabo, and they're there, and they are I'm just nervous because I see a dog that size. I'm like, okay, I'm chew toy. Like if I have anything on me, he just grabs me and I'm gone. So, but it was so much fun, and we just got so incredibly hammered every day. And I discovered that when other white people see a drunk dwarf in Mexico, they assume that I'm an employee of the hotel.
Oh, interesting.
Like they would just go out like, oh, this is a great show. There's a guy, there's a dwarf doing cannonballs in the pool. That was not in the brochure. Oh my God, this is great.
And, you were in Cabo at the same time, coincidentally, that Lux, Miss Double December, was in Cancun.
Yes.
Now, I saw that she was reaching out. She was making the invitation for you to hop on over and spend some time with her and her crew. But you didn't do that?
I was busy.
Okay. All right. We got it.
Should
he was fine.
Should I tell the story? Yeah, of course I should tell the story. Okay. I can't say that and then not tell the story. I had an interesting time with a female down there in Mexico.
Someone you met?
Someone we met there. And then it was weird because when we were done, she's like, okay, now you owe me a massage. And I was like, oh, like I'm going to rub you down. She's like, no, you have to buy me a massage. Like, what? This was not part of the agreement. No. And then she got mad that I took Adam on a on a couple's massage and not her. And she literally announced at the pool in front of everyone, like, I had sex with him just for a massage, and now he's not going to buy me one. I'm like, really? A massage is like $100. That's, you're cheap. Raise your standards. You know what I mean? Because she said that, and, like, four of the guys, like, ran up and, like, threw $100 on the table. I was like, I'll buy you a massage.
Is that some sort of a bizarre Mexican tradition that I'm not familiar with? Where did that come from, where you have to buy a massage?
I don't know. Maybe it's, like, good luck if a dwarf buys you a massage in that country. I'm not sure. But, yeah, she got all kinds of mad.
That's so weird.
Yeah, and it's like, we're on vacation. What's happening here?
I'll buy you a drink.
Yeah, let's do that. It's happy hour, two for one, but right? A massage? I mean, yeah, I don't know. It was standards are way too high on her, I guess. But
I do think it's interesting for people who maybe haven't heard Brad on the show before, who are surprised at how easily he gets ladies. What we found out from Brad in the early days is that doing it with a little person is on the wish list, the bucket list of almost every woman in the world, which I didn't realize until I knew you, Brad, that everybody wants a crack at that.
Thank God for that. That and like... especially in like when you're traveling, like when I'm down in Mexico, that like that's when people really go nuts, is when they're on vacation. It's like, we're on vacation, let's go crazy, let's do something insane, and
right.
And
they want a story to go when they go back to Milwaukee. They want to be able to say to the ladies in the office, oh my God, you're never going to believe how crazy it got in Mexico.
Absolutely, it was awesome. That and I stand out even more in Mexico because let's face it, Mexicans about my height.
Right,
you know, they're
small,
you
know, people.
Yeah, they're very tiny people. I have no idea how they get over the fence. so then, like, I'm like the white dwarf. So it's like, I'm like the great white hope. So it works out. We had fun. Oh, there was one incident though where we almost there was almost a fight because we were playing beach volleyball. It was Adam and me playing beach volleyball against like three other people, and this is on the beach. And so there's this kid who's flying this kite. They have like kites for you to rent. Mm-hmm. And then this other guy is walking the beach and he looks up, sees it, and goes, "Wow, that's the biggest kite I've ever seen." And Adam, who's Jewish, goes, "What'd you just call me?" And we're like, "Whoa, no, Adam! Adam?" He said, "Kite." He said, "Kite."
It was almost an international incident.
Here we go. It's on. Race war. Race war's on, everybody. It's going down. It's going down. Race war. Come on. Yeah. Race war. Race war. All right.
Brad,
Jews
Bradley
and Mexicans. It's on.
Is back in the United States. You can see him at the Improv in Irvine. That is going to be tonight and tomorrow night. Tickets available through improv.com. So what are you doing? You're doing two shows tonight and two shows tomorrow, right?
Yeah, two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow, and then next week as well at the Ice House in Pasadena. It's
a lot of chances for you to see our friend Brad Williams. Follow him on Twitter at FunnyBrad. More with our guest after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Comedian Brad Williams in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, our all-time favorite little person. Follow him on Twitter at FunnyBrad. Website is bradwilliamscomedy.com. And don't miss his podcast, his hilarious podcast with comedian Adam Ray, who's also very funny, called About Last Night, available on iTunes. Brad is going to be at the Improv in Irvine tonight for two shows, tomorrow night for two shows. Go to improv.com for tickets. And then at the Ice House in Pasadena, recording a new comedy special that's going to be next weekend. You can get those tickets at icehousecomedy.com.
You hear that, Peter Dinklage? I'm the favorite little person of K-Rock.
By the way, Don't ask why, but I was watching Elf yesterday because it's maybe one of the greatest movies of all time ever.
Because you were inspired knowing that I'm coming in the next day?
when Buddy the Elf comes into the conference room and he's there at the publishing house, they're working on a children's book, and he starts laying out all those Santa jokes. All those, oh, did Santa let you out? Did you have a reindeer to get here? Do little people hear those sorts of things all the time? Do people still think they're funny when they say something like that to you?
No, here's something that just happened to me recently. That just happened in December. Not too long ago, I was at the Brea Mall, and this is like last month, and this dad sees me, and he's got his kid with him, his 5 or 6 year old kid, and they start walking towards me, and I know that walk. That walk is, my kid just said something, I don't know how to deal with this, help, help. And by the way, I don't mind when kids stare, because kids are blank slates. They don't know. Like, the whole dwarfism thing is brand new to them.
Yeah.
So it's perfectly normal if your kid's like, okay, that's cool, what the hell is wrong with him? That's normal. That's fine. So I'm about to talk to the kid, and before I do, the dad interrupts and does his own little spiel and goes, you see, son, just like I told you, he's working undercover for Santa Claus. He's finding out who's naughty and who's nice, and then he's going to report back to Santa. And I'm furious, but I can't get mad because the kid's there, and he's 5 or 6, and if I get mad, now the kid's been into therapy for 22 years and wonders why he cries every time he sees the Willy Wonka movie. Like, that's not good. And,
but I mean, what do people think they're going to be able – what joke do they think they're ever going to be able to make to you that you haven't been hearing since you were 5?
Exactly. So, but normally I have a comeback, but for this situation, I didn't because I can't get mad because the kid's there. So I just kind of went along with it, and I was like, yeah, kid, yeah, I'm an elf. I'm undercover. Don't worry, you've been good. What do you want next year? What do you want for Christmas? And the kid goes, I really want that new Xbox. And I just look right at the dad, and I go, well, guess what? You are getting that new Xbox. Now the dad's freaking out. He's like, whoa, I did not agree to this. I'm like, I didn't agree to this either, but we're improving. Let's roll the dice. What else do you want, kids? You want a bike? Santa's bringing you a bike. How about a pony? How about a pony? You want a pony? What's the thing you want most in the world? And the kid's like, I really want mom and dad to get back together. And I'm like, well, guess what? Santa's sending dad to rehab, and he's going to come back. And at that point, I'm having such a good time. I start running around the mall like I'm Oprah, just like the other kids, like, you get an Xbox. You get an Xbox. Everybody gets an Xbox. Having a great time.
Dad is ruining the day he ever pointed you out to the kid, right?
Absolutely.
What happened recently, and this is so strange because you're the only little person that I know, Brad, but apparently you have friends who just had a dwarf baby?
Yeah.
That's crazy. What are the chances? I mean, what are the chances?
Like,
how often does it happen?
1 in 36,000. Like, it's, and you understand, they didn't have a dwarf baby because they themselves are little people.
Right.
It's not like we're gremlins. You don't like get one dwarf wet, like 5 more pop out. Like, that's not what happens. So one of my good buddies, him and his wife had a baby, and the baby's a dwarf, and they're both tall, and it's awesome. Except for now, everyone's looking at me like, dude. Did you bang the wife? I can't even say, like, it doesn't look like me because it looks exactly like me.
You all look alike, but I mean,
they really do.
I would totally be looking at you. I mean, look, I wouldn't be equipped to, initially to understand how something like that can happen if I didn't have any dwarfism in my family.
Sure. And it's a recessive gene. It's also, it can happen just randomly as a mutation, and which was my case. So I tell everyone, mutation, I'm an X-Man. What's up?
Sure. Because dwarfs can have children that aren't dwarfs as well,
which
right?
is why I don't want kids. Because
the kid could kill you.
Yeah. By
the time it's 10.
10? Try 3. Jeez. how do you discipline a 3-year-old that's bigger than you? Like, you're in timeout. The kid just picks you up. You're in timeout, Dad. Punt.
But you guys could share clothes and toys, though, Brad. It would be so fun for you.
It's father-son shopping day at Baby Gap. All right.
Sounds like you stole a midget pants.
Exactly. Tonight and tomorrow night at the Irvine Improv. Buy your tickets at improv.com. Go see our friend Brad Williams. 2 shows tonight, 2 shows tomorrow. One more break when we return right after this on the Kevin Beach on. If you ever take my advice on anything, it's this. Go see Brad Williams on stage doing comedy. You will have the best time of your life. He'll be at the Irvine Improv tonight and tomorrow night. 2 shows both nights. Go to improv.com and next weekend at the Ice House in Pasadena. Hey, Brad Williams, how are you?
Darn right. Hey, Lisa, you can vouch, right?
Oh, yeah. You want a little tiny baby? Go see Brad. Right.
She got Lisa pregnant.
Yeah.
But part of the publicity for your Southern California shows this week and next came out of the OC Weekly. Allie Lerman down there interviewed you, Brad, and I thought this was fascinating.
Allie.
She's awesome. I read her stuff all the time. I thought this was awesome. Apparently, you, of course, we have, those of us who have been lucky enough to see you on stage, we know that you can dance like nobody's business.
Yep.
Darn right.
Did you come up as a b-boy or as a DJ or what? Like, where did all these mad skills come from?
I came up when I was in high school. I went to Sunny Hills High School, and then when just to earn some extra cash, I was DJing at Parks Junior High to the 7th and 8th grade dances. So that's when I came up with my DJ name, DJ Fourfoot. Respect! Respect, DJ Fourfoot!
Well,
can we file my DJ name? I don't know.
DJ Fourfoot.
DJ Fourfoot.
So, Allie at the OC Weekly, she asked you to, what, go through your iPod or your library at home or something like that and come up with your favorite old school numbers to dance to.
Yeah.
And I thought this was an awesome list. I thought it'd be fun to go through. Number
okay.
five on Brad's list, Daft Punk, Around the World.
Yeah, buddy. How can you not dance to that?
What does what do you have in mind? What's the mental picture when you play that or hear that?
Well, like when I was DJing that when that song, I don't know what was going through the Parks Junior High kids, but they would just hear that and go nuts. Like I could play all the 50 Cent, all like whatever hip hop that was current, and they would kind of bounce their head, but not really dance to it. When I played that song, they all got on the dance floor. They all started dancing the worst robot imitations ever. And it was just great. So that always got them dancing. It got me dancing. And so I definitely had to put that song on the list.
Have you picked up the new Daft Punk that just came out this week?
I have. It's so good.
It's so good. All right. Number four on Brad's old school list. You guys remember Ollie and Jerry, Electric Boogaloo.
Okay.
Dance to that,
you
right?
can't have a old school jam list without a song from the Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo soundtrack. Hello.
Totally agree.
Hello.
Has that one aged badly or is it just me?
It's aged awesome. What are you talking about? That's like fine wine. It gets better every year.
All right. Number three, you won't find a more old school classic Southern California jam than this one. Of course, we're talking about Dr. Dre.
Still taking my time to perfect the beat. And I still got love for the streets. It's the D-R-E.
Yes, son.
How tough could DJ Fourfoot have really pretended to be when that song was on?
Listen, you don't know these Parks Junior High gangsters, son. They be out there shanking fools. So I'd have to go out there, play a little Dr. Dre, do a little Brad Williams lowercase C walk. See what I did there? Lowercase C?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, and then just do a lowercase C walk. And I could C walk, so that just got all the respect from the homies. Word. What happened? What was I talking about? I have no
number,
idea.
Number two, it's the B.
Steve!
Boys.
Come on.
Is that a break? That's a breakdancing song for
Hell
you, Brad?
Hell yeah. That's a breakdancing song. How could you not dance when you're the Beastie Boys? It's just fun. It's a fun song. You hear that, you can't help but smile and laugh and kind of bounce your head and start moving. That's perfect. I
Did
love
Did you
that.
Have your own cardboard you took from place to place?
Darn right. It was like half a shingle, but still, it worked out.
Woo! All right. I think this is a great list so far of Brad Williams' favorite old school jams. I have no problem with Daft Punk, Ollie and Jerry, Dr. Dre, Beastie Boys. You were going to have a problem with number one. Here's what Brad says. Now, I want everybody to pause and think for a moment about old school dance music, okay?
Right.
Think of all the possibilities of what Brad's favorite song could be, and then throw all that out the window as we hear a little bit of The Real McCoy.
Balls, 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 balls.
Take two.
Are you kidding me? Who doesn't love this song? Yeah!
Brad.
Am I alone on this one?
You might be.
Really?
What?
The Real McCoy? Just another night is all that it takes.
What was Stewart's Roller World? What's that?
Stewart's Roller World is my childhood place. That was a roller rink on the corner of Commonwealth in Richmond in Fullerton. Now it's a Goodwill. But that's where I played hockey for 4 years, and that's where I would go every Wednesday night would be free skate night, and that song would come on, and everyone would just be busting out their best tricks. They'd be going up on the two wheels and skating backwards and jumping the red line. That, you know, that's how you impress the girls, and you're like, hey, you saw me skate. You want to go over to the arcade, play a little Golden Axe? Let's see how this works out. And, like, no, I don't know what that was about that song. That just got everyone going from the 90s roller rink music. It was like that. It was like LaBouche. It was like, yeah, Be My Lover. Pretty much anything that appeared on the Night at the Roxbury soundtrack. That's what we skated to. So how dare you insult that song?
Are these songs still on your iPod today in 2013?
Hell yes they are. Because sometimes, you know, yeah, sure, everyone has the Keith Sweat on the, you know, the Jodeci to get the girls going. You bust out some real McCoy. Oh, come on. What girl isn't getting happy to that song?
See, you know what I'm saying? That's what I've been missing. That's where I've been failing all these years. I didn't have the real McCoy working.
Darn right. Do that followed up with some Venga Boys. You'll be scoring.
All right. Well, good list. And thanks to Allie Lehrman from the OC Weekly for putting that together. That's very funny. Hey, you're going to be doing some dancing at the Improv in Irvine tonight? Is that going to be part of the show tonight?
Darn right. How could I not? That's like Jay Moore not doing Tracy Morgan. Come on, man. It's my calling card.
And 10 o'clock tonight and tomorrow night, tickets at improv.com. And then next weekend at the Ice House in Pasadena on Friday and Saturday night, recording a new comedy special. You're going to come back and see us next week, so we'll continue this conversation then.
Sounds good to me. Thanks, guys. All right.
Thank you, Lisa. We want to talk to you if you're a never nude or you're a person who loves a never nude. It's a condition called gymnophobia, people who can't stand to see themselves naked. That'll be coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. First, Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
I will be taking calls on my cell phone from the always nude. So if you're a person who's always naked and or you love someone who's always naked, then call me because I want to hear about that.
Sounds like a lot more fun.
That is much more interesting to me than the people who never take off their clothes. I want to talk to people who always take off their clothes.
Naked!
You strike me as a guy, Ralph, and maybe we'll get into this in the next hour, but you strike me as a guy who probably walks around the house a lot naked.
I don't, actually. Not anymore. I got a 3-year-old daughter, for God's sakes.
Right.
I don't even sleep in the nude anymore. I slept in the nude my whole life, practically. But you can't, because if the kid needs you in the middle of the night suddenly, you don't want to take time putting on your gym shorts and your t-shirt to run into the room, you know? And you certainly don't want to run into the room
and scare her to death.
Scare her to death and send her into therapy forever. So, yeah, I sleep now with shorts and a t-shirt on. But there was a time when I lived with Adam Carolla and Cortland Cox. The three of us shared a house. Right. That the name of the house, people became to call the house Shea Nude. Because at every party, eventually I would get in the bag and I would get naked. At every party we had, yes. We had a pool and there was just constant skinny dipping, at least by me. Sometime I was joined by others, but I was always, always stripping my clothes off.
I was like, naked.
I was like Will Ferrell in old school. I was always stripping down. So Shea Nude was the home where we used to live.
Well, if you're the opposite of Ralph Garber, we definitely want to talk to you coming up. It should be fun.
Remember Gretchen Carr, TV newscaster Gretchen Carr?
We sure do. Absolutely.
Yes.
And I walked in naked.
Yes.
Yep.
While she was on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she didn't care for that. I want to make a quick correction from the last hour. I got a feverish phone call from the people at Pepsi Frito-Lay. Who want to ensure everyone that Cracker Jack, the beloved original that you grew up on, will still be in existence. Cracker Jacked is a brand new line of Cracker Jack that will feature jacked up flavors, a variety of jacked up flavors that you can get in addition to the classic caramel peanut Cracker Jack. You can get like chocolate and fiery jalapeno chipotle and all kinds of delicious.
So it's extreme Cracker Jack.
It's extreme Cracker Jack. It's Cracker Jack X Games is what it is.
So, all right.
There you go. Now,
yeah!
That's
hot!
That's been straightened out.
Mugs will eat some of that.
Yeah! Is it free? Is it food? Only two questions Mugs ever asks. Amanda Bynes is magic. She was arrested last night at her home in Manhattan, in her apartment, when the doorman in her building called the cops because she was smoking pot in the lobby, allegedly. Cops showed up, knocked on her apartment door. She opened it up. She let them in. That's when one of the cops said, "Is that a bong?" She promptly opened the window, threw the bong out the window, and said, "What bong?" I don't know if she actually did that right now, but that's the way it plays out in my mind. It's funnier. Cops then arrested her on charges of reckless endangerment. Since she lives on the 36th floor and she did throw a bong out the window, it could have been dangerous, to say the least, to someone who was below that window.
Yeah.
Sure.
They also slapped her with charges of tampering with evidence and criminal possession of marijuana. TMZ is reporting that she was yelling at the cops during the arrest, "Don't you know who I am?"
That has never worked for her once. Why does she keep doing it?
Plus, what possible difference could it make on the outcome of the arrest?
Right.
If they recognized her or didn't recognize her, how would that help her one way?
Right. You know, what does she expect? Oh, I didn't realize.
Actors get arrested, too.
I didn't realize you were that former Nickelodeon TV star.
Oh,
in that case, it's fine.
Yeah, the Amanda Show. Yeah. She was taken to the Roosevelt Hospital for a psych evaluation and then to a Midtown police station where, as they say, at press time, she is still apparently in a holding cell waiting to be arraigned in a courtroom. So
that must have been a moment of party.
It was a moment of party, Kevin. It was indeed. Hey, speaking of you, Kevin, you know one of your favorite actors is Leonardo DiCaprio, right?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, well, he is going into space this year on Richard Branson's first ever Virgin Atlantic space flight.
He's one of those guys who has 200 grand to plop down for a couple of hours?
Yes, and wait for it. The seat next to Leo on that first flight,
Farrah Abramson,
was going to be Farrah Abramson. No, it was put up for auction.
Oh.
At the AMFAR Gala at this year's Cannes Film Festival. AMFAR, as you know, is an international organization that does wonderful things with world hunger and things like that. So they have an auction every year. And they put the seat next to Leo on the space flight up for auction. If you win, you get to fly into space with Leonardo DiCaprio.
With Leo.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And then he goes to the front of the shuttle and goes, "I'm the king of the world!" He hangs off the nose of the plane. Any idea, any guesses as to how much the flight went for? Now, keep in mind, as Bean said, what is it, 200K, Bean, to
I think
go
so.
To space?
I think that's what Leo paid.
So, you know, it's at least that. What do you think the final winning bid was for sitting next to Leo in a flight into space?
I can't imagine. I mean, we're talking, you got to have so much money to even get in this conversation. And it's, again, it's for something that lasts like 2 hours.
Yes. It's a two and a half hour round trip flight into space. You leave from Branson Spaceport, which is being built in New Mexico. Just as we speak, they're finishing it. So
I'll just throw it out there and say $1 million, five times face value.
That's what I was going to say.
$1.5 million.
Wow. Nice.
Another $500,000 added to that. So for $1.5 million, someone gets to sit next to Leonardo DiCaprio for 2 hours.
Worth it.
Not,
totally
not
worth it.
Not
worth,
worth it.
It.
Not worth it.
Worth it if you're the lady who won the Powerball in Florida and you've got $400 million. Maybe a million and a half is worth blowing in a day.
It's still a million and a half.
I know.
For two hours of your time.
I'm bored. A lot with that. I'm bored.
But I know it's the greatest cocktail party story ever. So I was flying in space the other day with Leonardo DiCaprio. You get to say a sentence that has never before been said in the English language if you spend that money. But still, for $1.5 million, what could you do that would last you longer than 2 hours? A lot of things.
Oh, a lot of things. But like Dean said, you've got a lot of money if you're doing it.
How about if you also, Lisa, while you're up there, have sex with Leonardo DiCaprio in zero gravity?
Yeah. Yes. You're talking the 27-mile club, man. That is a different thing.
That's a story.
And we were talking about Jewel yesterday, remember, because it was her birthday?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
She's looking great these days, and I think it was In Touch Weekly magazine asked her what she owes her incredible figure to. You know, she's very shapely. She's busty and slim and just looks great. Her answer was the biblical diet. Are you familiar with the biblical diet?
No.
This is a thing. You can not eat anything that has any chemicals added to it whatsoever. Nothing genetically altered. Only food that is completely natural and animals that were raised on grass or grain only.
So it's a raw food diet, basically.
Yes, right? But even the food cannot have been sprayed with any pesticides or fertilizer.
It's not raw food because you could eat meat.
Exactly.
It's more of a paleo kind of diet.
Well, it's working for her.
It's known as the biblical diet. If you go off the diet, I've heard they stone you to death.
Yeah. That'll keep you on it.
And you cannot lay with your friend as you would lay with a woman, and there's all kinds of rules. You have to grow your hair. You have to carry the food around on tablets. You have to. Your diet is written on stone tablets you have to carry down.
Well, you have to grind your own flour.
You do, and then you have to make friends with a hooker. It's a very complicated diet, but it's working for her. Today's celebrity birthdays. Tommy Chong is 75 years old today. You think he's weeping a little bit hearing about that bong story from Amanda Bynes? You think he sheds
of course.
He's like that Indian in the old commercial where that single tear comes out when he hears a broken bong has been thrown out the window.
He's a guy who went to jail for making bongs.
Yes,
remember.
Exactly. Yeah, transporting bongs across state lines. Frank Mir's 34. Alfred Molina is 60. John C. Reilly turns 48. Allison Hannigan is 39. And singer Bob Dylan is 72 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
K-Rock's festival flyaway destination number one is Summer Sonic in Tokyo, Japan, don't you know? Featuring Muse and Metallica, Smashing Pumpkins, Linkin Park, and Imagine Dragons, who were so great at the K-Rock Weenie Rose recently. You can listen at 9:10 this morning, about an hour from right now, for your first chance today to get on the standby boarding list. Details at krock.com. Well, what is everybody's plans for catching up on Arrested Development's new episodes when they become available on Sunday morning? 15 new episodes to watch. How are we all going to handle it?
I'm going to watch two or three. And then wait a few days, and then go to the next two or three. That's how I'm going to parse it out.
I'm going to watch each episode in pieces of into thirds. I'm going to break it into thirds, so I'll just watch like 10 minutes at a time. So I'll have like 45 new episodes to watch.
And that'll last you like a year,
exactly.
So whatever everyone else is jonesing for new episodes, you'll still have plenty to watch.
Can't wait to see the new one, that's what I'll say.
I'm not going to watch them at all, and that way I'll always have 15 episodes to watch. How about that?
That's okay. It's just dumb.
Well, we're very excited about the Chicken Dance and all the other awesome things about Arrested Development that are coming back, but it has kind of brought back into focus something called Never Nudes. You guys remember David Cross's character, Tobias Funk, who suffers from a syndrome called gymnophobia is what it's officially called. They call it Never Nudes. Here was an explanation from one episode.
He's a Never Nude.
Tobias suffered a rare psychological affliction of never being able to be completely naked.
Excuse me, do these effectively hide my thunder?
Tobias, we're gonna have to deal with this sometime. I mean, I understand you not wanting to do it on film, but you can't even get undressed in front of me.
It is not you, Lindsay. I can't get undressed alone. I can't get undressed by myself. I mean, this is a real affliction. I'm sorry it's not recognized here in the States, but I know for a fact that there are two members of German Parliament. They're called Neinvollstandig Nude.
I don't know if we're going to find any Never Nudes who are willing to come on the radio, but I bet we will. And we're asking for you to call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you have this gymnophobia, we want to hear what that's like for you, or we want to hear from the people who are around you. If you are in a relationship with or live with or related to somebody who has this, please give us a call. You know anything about gymnophobia, Ralph?
I don't, but I can't imagine it. It is very common. I can understand people who can't be nude in front of other people, maybe to that extent, but to not even be naked by yourself to shower or anything else, I can't imagine. The logistics alone would be exhausting.
Yeah, but do you think there are people who can't be alone naked in front of somebody and also can never look at, like, they can get naked, but they will never, ever look at themselves in a mirror naked?
That's more likely, I think.
Yeah.
But to have to wear, like, swimsuit in the shower or something? I can't imagine.
Well, I mean, you have to change at some point, so there's a moment where you're naked.
Right, there's a flash. Even if you just really quickly just rip off one pair of underwear and put another on, there has to be a point in which you're nude. Unless maybe you wear like a long T-shirt while you're changing the pants.
They might do that.
Maybe really high pants while you're changing the shirt. And there's a constant variety of different size clothing that you have to use in order to keep your body covered at some point.
Here's a little bit from an article on NBC News. It's not a made-up quirk just played for laughs. There really are people with a crippling fear of nudity, a condition called gymnophobia. There are people who are not comfortable being naked in front of other people, and there are other people who are not comfortable looking at themselves naked, said Martin Anthony, professor of psychology at Ryerson University in Toronto and the author of the Anti-Anxiety Workbook. Phobias often develop after a negative experience. A gymnophobic may have been bullied while changing in a middle school locker room, for example. Most people who are afraid of nudity suffer from other anxiety disorders and body image problems too. Some people who are afraid of being naked suffer from eating disorders or body dysmorphic disorders, a mental condition where people believe they are ugly or fat or imperfect when there is little truth to it. People with this disorder often obsess over their appearance, hiding their bodies from themselves or others. Others could simply feel they do not measure up to media images of beautiful bodies and feel nervous about showing off their bodies.
That's
nobody lives up to media images.
Right. That's,
by the way,
that's tragic, though. I just feel so bad for people who are so affected by what people might think. And here's the thing. If you realized how little people think about you, you wouldn't worry about what they think about you. I mean, so often worried about ourselves more than anything else that we don't really care what other people look like, yeah, or what they do.
Well, that is true. I mean, if you get a pimple, you think that it's broadcast to the world and no one can see anything else but a pimple, when right, the reality is that no one in that room even notices that you have a pimple.
And they don't care. If they see it, they don't
exactly care. We're going to go to Jen and Richard. Gio, you hang on. We're going to get to you in a second. What about, and this happens fairly commonly, especially with women, Lisa, aren't there a lot of women who don't like to be nude even when they're having sex, though? They don't want their body to be seen. They'll always wear a T-shirt or something?
I don't know about always wearing a T-shirt, but they probably want the lights out before they get completely naked. They won't walk naked in front of their partner. Yeah. I knew someone who was married to a woman who would always get up before him and put on her face.
Hmm.
So he never saw her without makeup.
Wow.
I know some people who don't have sex, who can't have sex nude, who always have to wear something.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
You're not just talking about Omar and his socks, right? Because
no,
Omar
no,
insists on having his socks on. Remember?
No, I've known several friends of mine, men, who have to wear a shirt or something, but to cover up at least the non-working parts. But they don't like to be fully nude when they're having sex.
Were they ashamed of, like, their belly or something?
Yeah, most of it, the guys are, you know, heavy set or whatever, just were completely, you know, fixated. If she sees me naked, it's going to be a turnoff for her or whatever. So they always kept something on.
Okay.
Let's squeeze in a couple of calls here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Again, the toll-free number, 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Gio. Gio is on line 4, and it sounds like he had or has this. Hi, Gio. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for calling. You had gymnophobia?
Yeah, until I was 16, I would get in the shower in, like, underwear, white beater, socks, and just sort of start showering that way.
Even when you were alone? We're not talking about in a school shower. You're talking about at home when you took a shower?
At home, in the shower. It was very weird. I didn't even know this was, like, a thing.
So by yourself, you would put on a white beater, underwear, and socks. You'd wear those into the shower to wash?
Yeah.
Wow.
How did you get over it?
Yeah, what stopped
How
it?
Did you get clean, more importantly? How do you clean your junk when you're wearing underwear?
I don't know. You just kind of go in there with a bar of soap. basically, my mother was like, what is this abundance of wet laundry after every shower? And she just like went insane. And I was like, all right. But it went on for like a while.
Did you just grow out of it?
Yeah, I did. But it's like mostly really bizarre because you just acquire so much laundry because you're constantly wearing clothes.
But your laundry's really clean because you've showered in it. You've soaked it up and rinsed it out. You should just dry it.
Did you ever talk to anybody professionally about it to figure out how that started for you, Gio?
No. The older I got, I guess I just grew out of it. Now I'm pretty much down to socks and underwear all the time. I get naked for the shower, but I'm always in socks and underwear.
So your attitudes about nudity are still sort of tense?
Yes.
Huh.
How about sexy time? What do you do about that? Do you just keep your underwear, you know, take your underwear off for as little as you need to and then put it right back on?
Pretty much, yeah.
Isn't that something?
The socks just never come off.
Huh. Well, that's very sexy. That's very sexy.
I wonder, what's it about feet? What's the big deal with feet?
I don't know. I guess they're the most vulnerable because they touch everything, but I just need socks.
But not yours. Yours don't touch anything.
Yours are hermetically sealed and pristine. your feet are mint in package, as we say in the collectible business.
So glad you called. Thank you so much. Jen, you hang on. She was with a Never Nude for 5 years, by the way. Richard, Carly, Rebecca, please hang on. We'll talk to you right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin and Bean listener from Boston writes in, hey, Kevin and Bean and Lisa Mae, ding, ding, ding. I'm a longtime podcast fan. My old girlfriend had a phobia about being nude. She was wearing a bathing suit in the shower, no lights on. She would cry when she had to go to the doctor and get into the gown. Even during sexy time, she had to wear a bra and panties. It was terrible. Also, fire beer mug. That says Sandra.
Yeah, that goes without saying. How do you stay in a relationship with someone like that?
I don't know.
How can you manage?
Unless you don't want intimacy.
It would be the opposite of sexy.
Totally.
Funny you should ask, Ralph, because Jennifer, who is on line one here on the Kevin and Bean Show, had a boyfriend who was a never nude for 5 years.
Oh, Jen.
Thank you for calling and for holding on. We really appreciate it. What's going on?
Oh, that's a good question.
Jen, what's up with your self-esteem issues that you'd stay with a guy for 5 years who wouldn't get naked?
Again, a really good question.
Well, how did it first present itself? Like early in the relationship, you thought
super
it was a little
early.
Weird?
Yeah, super early. And I don't know why it happened. I don't know why I just didn't clue into it. But, you know, we were dating probably for a couple of weeks before we had sexy time. And during sexy time, you wouldn't take your shorts off. or his socks.
Well, how do you...
Shorts and socks.
Yeah.
I assume they had a fly of some kind.
No, well, those were like gym shorts, so he just pulled them down to his knees, and then we, you know...
But whatever. Still kept them on, right.
Oh, my God.
Did he pull them up right afterwards?
Yeah, and then he would have a shower and say, okay, well, you need to go in the other room. I'm like, well, what are you talking about? He said, oh, yeah, I have to shower. You can't be in here.
Oh, that's hot.
Jen, was there anything weird about his genitals that maybe he was embarrassed about?
No, that's the thing. I mean, he was a big dude. So, I mean, he was kind of big all around. You'd think that he would be, you know, kind of boastful. And that's the funny thing is that he concentrated on being a bodybuilder at the same time.
This sounds like a familiar story.
It does.
I think we know a guy who used to work on the show who's a lot like that. So did it ever, like, get to the point where, for whatever reason, you just couldn't forget about it? It just bugged you so much that you, I mean, did it at all contribute to problems in the relationship?
At the end, there were a ton of problems in the relationship. That just kind of added on to it.
Well, he obviously would have trouble with intimacy, right? Like, just in general?
Yeah, and that's the funniest part is, you know, we had an interesting sex life. I'll just leave it at that. But I think that he was definitely compensating for something. I don't know what it was.
Gotcha.
But he was definitely embarrassed.
And he wasn't interested in getting help?
No.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Jen. Appreciate the call so much. Let's go to Carly. We're talking about never nudes.
You know,
because
the next guy Jen dated, all he had to do to impress her was just take his clothes off?
Yeah.
Yep. That's right.
Like, so hot for him. How easy it is to date Jen after that guy.
With Arrested Development coming back this week, we're talking about Tobias Funk being a never nude. Gymnophobia is what it's really called. And apparently, Carly, you have a little bit of that yourself, right?
Yeah.
Tell us
what's your deal, Carly?
I hate to be naked, like, ever. I have such a phobia of it that even when I'm in my room by myself with the door closed, if I'm changing clothes, like, from pajamas into daywear, I have to, like, take off my shirt in a certain way so that I'm putting on another one as I'm taking the other one off.
Carly, is some of it a fear that someone might walk in, even though there's no chance of that?
Well, no, but it is. Some of it has to do with if somebody walks in, they're still not going to see anything.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, my God. What's going on with your body? I mean, is it something that you're not happy with?
No, I mean, I'm slim. I'm not, you know.
Right.
I'm not embarrassed of my body. Like, swimsuits are fine. Like, I can wear a bikini to the beach. That's not a big deal. I just don't like to be naked.
Does that interfere in your relationships?
No, not, well, I mean... I don't like anybody else to see me naked either.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Would that be a problem in a relationship? Because most guys to see the girls they're dating naked.
Oh, they don't really get any anyway.
They don't get any anyway.
Wow, we got other issues going on
you
here.
You are a box of bonbons. That's what you are, Carly.
Carly, what do you think is going on? I you know that this is unusual. You know that this is unhealthy. Where do you suppose this comes from?
You know what? I don't know. It's just been ever since I can remember. Well, actually, you know what? If I'm quite honest, one time I took a shower when I was 7, mm-hmm. and I went into my bedroom, and suddenly my closet started rattling. I opened it. There were 3 guys laughing, giggling.
Well, there you go.
Friends brought their kids over, and they were just, like, giggling in the closet. So.
Paging Dr. Drew.
Jeez.
There's your problem. Wow.
That might have something to do with it. You were mortified.
Just a smidge.
All right. Thank you, Carly. Appreciate the call. Let's do one more.
She's a candidate for Muslim religion, though.
All right. Perfect for her.
The burqa. She would rock a burqa.
Yeah.
Let's go to Richard. He's got, this is your girlfriend who's got the gymnophobia. Is that right, Richard?
Yes, sir.
And she hasn't been naked since she was what age?
14.
How old is she now?
She is 25.
What's going on?
Those clothes must smell awful.
No, she... I've never seen her completely nude, and we've been together for 2.5 years.
Is this an issue for you?
No, as long as we can have some fun. But
you are easily pleased, sir.
Yeah, right. So what is she, when you guys are having sex, what is she wearing?
Underwear and a bra.
That must make
unacceptable.
It...
Unacceptable.
Must make it difficult and or painful.
Unacceptable.
Yes, both.
Yeah.
You know, I'm
Richard's down
a,
there with a seam ripper trying to get some access.
So, but you seem fine with it. It doesn't bother you.
Yeah, I'm I'm a bit on the hefty side, so a girl who finds me attractive, I think.
Oh, I see. Any port in a storm for you, Rick.
Exactly. All right. Yeah, you don't want to get rid of her. She's crazy, but don't get rid of her because there may not be a replacement standing by. All right, Richard. Thanks for the call. Thanks for listening to K-Rock.
Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Hey, Mickey. Hey, Mickey.
It's got a little bit of that in it. I can see that. That is New Politics, our little friends from Copenhagen, and their song Harlem here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock for a Friday morning. Ralph, I don't get having a baby and not having a name picked out for the baby. I don't understand that because isn't that what parents-to-be do for all the months leading up to the birth is, hey, what are we going to name our kid?
Happens more than you might think, Bean. And
here's
why. Having spent an extraordinarily protracted time in the hospital with my daughter Olivia and my son Lincoln when they were in the NICU. You meet and you talk to a lot of parents because you got nothing else to do.
Right.
So I was surprised at the number of people who had yet named their babies.
And the reasons were?
There are several I found in my research. One, you had a name picked out. The baby comes out and you look at the baby and say, nope, it just doesn't look like a fill in the blank.
Oh.
Heard that story so many times. Yes,
we were
going to go with Louise, and then she popped out, and my wife and I looked at each other and went, no, she doesn't look like a Louise. To which I said, you're insane. They all look the same. Look at them. If I switched your baby with mine right now, you wouldn't know it. Another one is a lot of family fighting. Well, my mother's, my wife's side wants it named after her grandfather, Luke, but my mom said we have to name it after her brother, Bill, who died in that shipping accident. I mean, there's all kinds of family infighting, so sometimes they just table the discussion until after they get out of the hospital, till the mother recovers, and they get home, and cooler heads can prevail, and they deal with it that way.
What if your name was Asshole?
That's another one. The baby's name is Asshole, and they say, I don't know if we want to put that on the birth certificate or not, so we may want to wait.
Well, the reason I bring all this up is because a very close friend of the Kevin and Bean Show, super fan Kevin Stockdale, who is the Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Archive, had a baby boy yesterday. He and his wife, Laura, gave birth to a beautiful baby boy, 9 pounds, 7 ounces, by the way. So forget never having sex again. His wife will never walk again after that. But he texted me yesterday morning from the hospital, and I said, congratulations, what's your son's name? And he's like, got me there. And I thought, that's for all the reasons I just explained, I was so surprised by that. But Ralph, you're not. It sounds like this does happen more than I realized.
I was surprised how often it happens, yeah.
And Kevin joins us on the phone right now. Hi, new dad, Kevin Stockdale. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you doing? I'm a little tired.
I bet. Tired. Congratulations.
By the way, this is how dedicated a super fan Kevin is what do you think he did after being up all night long yesterday and having his baby in the hospital? He went right home and uploaded all of the audio from yesterday's Kevin and Bean Show to his website.
Well, you know, I've always said Kevin has a problem.
And let me clarify, I didn't go home. I just did it from the hospital room.
Oh, okay.
Good for you.
Problems.
So what's the deal? This wasn't one of those, I didn't know I was pregnant. All of a sudden, a baby dropped out of nowhere. You and your wife knew this one was coming. You knew this day was happening. Where's the breakdown for you, Kevin?
Well, the one thing you didn't mention is that the baby was 15 days early, so we could have had 2 more weeks to kind of finalize this.
But okay. 2 more weeks, come on. If you know the baby's name, it's you get 9 months, so you got 8.5 months.
Right.
Well, put it this way. We had Olivia. We have an Olivia also, a year ahead of Ralph, so we didn't copy there. But we had that name picked out like 6 years in advance, and we loved girls' names, and we talked about them for a long time, and we kind of settled on that. And it's kind of, a friend of mine, Kyle, compared it to a band that puts out their first album, and they've got their whole life to write that first record, and it's a great album. And then that sophomore release, like, holy cow, how do we top what we just did? So we've been fighting on our second release, so to speak. And,
easy with comparing yourself to a band with a second album. It's one word. It's one freaking word you got to come up with. It's not a song. It's not an album. It's a name, a single name.
And there are millions of names out there, too. It's not like you were locked in a room and you had to think of one. I mean, there are so many. You can't get away from names. Did you guys have anything that you were close to, at least?
Yeah, we narrowed it down to 6 or 8 or 10 or so. You know, it was interesting. As a side note, there was a baby shower recently, and one of the games we played was celebrity baby names. And you had to match the name to the celebrity, and I won by a landslide. I got, 85% of them, and it's because I listen to you guys all the time, and you always talk about those crazy baby names celebrities have. But, we go through that list now, and no Moxie Crime Fighter for us.
Now, let me ask both of you guys this, since you've both been able to name babies recently. There's a thought process, and you guys both came up with Olivia, which is a beautiful name, a classic name, but there's a thought process with a lot of parents that I want a name that's going to be individual, that's going to stand out, that's not going to be a name anybody else has. Mm-hmm. What's that about?
What's that about?
Yeah.
It's just you want something that has a strength to it, I think, especially when you're naming a boy. And if you use a name that is so common, it sort of dilutes that, I think. The kid doesn't stand out.
But I would think that the kid is the one who's going to determine his future and his legacy, not his name.
Right, but you don't have anything to go on, Bean. You don't have a legacy, or you don't have a track record with a newborn. All you have is their presence and the name. That's all you have to go with. And if you go with Bill or Steve or something like that, you're automatically homogenizing that kid from Jump Street.
Well, I do know a guy who has ruined the name Kevin for life. Yes. I do know that no babies will be born named Kevin from our listeners of this show. That's for sure. But Kevin, from Kevin to Bean Archive on the phone here on the show, I want you to know that I went to a website this morning. I was trying to help you out here, and it's called The Baby Center. Now, this is a website where they get data from more than 500,000 parents who share their names on the website for people to have as a list of potential names to name new babies. And there's a list of boys' names from 2012 that I thought was fascinating. Now, none of these are flukes. In other words, no name makes it on the list if only one person chooses it.
That's a great name, Fluke. there's no flukes on the list?
So, in other words, you throw out all the crazy people who just come up with a bizarre name for the sake of a bizarre name, and they're one person only. None of the names on this list were just by one person. So there is at least more than one out there last year born in 2012 with these names. And these are some of the boys' names on the list. I'll just run by them real fast, Kevin. You tell me what you think, okay? For instance, Bond is a name.
Nope.
Pass. Burger.
Oh, please. Would you stop this?
Why?
More than one. Casanova.
Stop it.
Cello. Cobain.
Where did that come from?
Drifter.
Well, you're damning your child to a life of a hobo.
This won't surprise you, Ralph, because I know you saw this in the news. There was more than one born in 2012, a boy in America whose name is ESPN.
Yeah, I heard saw that.
Good luck is a name. Google is a name more than one boy was given last year. Google.
You're going to get sued.
Yeah. Hippo. Okay.
Is that the guy that lost his arm?
Jedi. How about that if your name was Jedi, you guys?
Nope.
Nope. Mango.
Stop it.
In tradition of Apple?
Navarius. Got to play football, right?
Yeah,
sure.
Just a couple more real fast. Neon. Popeye, Savior, Thunder, Tron, and Xenon. Some of the other names on the list from last year. So you got a lot of good ones to choose from there, dude.
Wow. You know, and I think back to some of the crazy people we've had on. I'm trying to remember the name of that one surfer who's now a Christian minister.
We interviewed that guy.
Yeah, and he had four kids, and he had great names. And the one that I always remember is Rhythm.
Rhythm.
It's Rhythm.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he was using the Rhythm method or what happened, but
Well, I don't know what you guys are going to decide or if there's any kind of a timeline. I mean, do you have to have a name on the birth certificate before you can come home from the hospital or anything like that? They have rules like that?
I was told this morning that we're getting discharged early. Not only can my wife walk, she's anxious to go home and sleep for once in her own bed, but we're getting discharged early, but we can come back this weekend to sign the paperwork to put a name on it.
There you go. Well, I think if you don't come up with anything, we're going to give the baby Doto as a name, and you're going to be stuck with it.
Well, that was a placeholder, so that was a start.
Well, congratulations to you and Lauren. Thanks on behalf of all the Kevin and Bean fans for the great work you've been doing on the archive site for all of these years. You really are an unbelievable resource. You know how often we come to you, Kevin, and say, hey, we can't remember if we ever did this bit or ever had this guy on or when was the last time we had that conversation. So you are definitely the resource that we go to. We're real happy that you guys are all doing great, man.
And in honor of your work, Kevin, we think the baby's name should be Big Ted.
Thanks, dude. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, Lisa. Finally, Friday. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here as we head into Memorial Day weekend. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat with Ralph.
Speaking of Finally Friday, thanks to everyone for coming out tonight to see Hollywood Babylon. We sold out the show. We're
gonna
be sold
out. Oh, for tonight. Gotcha.
Yeah, we're sold out.
Don't confuse people, Lisa.
Well, I was thinking he was talking about the event he did last night.
Yeah, we did that last night, the Now You See Me event. But we're doing Hollywood Babylon tonight in our brand new home, the Hollywood Improv on Melrose. And we're all sold out for tonight. So thanks to everyone who is planning on coming out. And some people are very upset because they missed out. Next week, we'll be doing another show, so you can go to improv.com. You want to get tickets for that. And we will be talking for sure about young Miss Amanda Bynes.
AmandaPlease.com.
She was busted last night in her in Manhattan apartment by the police, who were called by the doorman of the building, said she was smoking pot in the lobby. They went up to her apartment to talk to her, to interview her. And she let them in. That's when one of the cops said, "Hey, look, there's a bong." And that's when she tossed it out the window. Cops arrested her on charges of reckless endangerment, tampering with evidence, criminal possession of marijuana. Reportedly, she was yelling at the cops throughout the arrest, "Don't you know who I am?"
Yes. Don't you think that building is trying to get her out any way they can?
Yeah, I'm sure. They don't want to deal with her nonsense. One of the cops says, "Yes, I know who you are. I've spanked it to your selfies." She was then taken to Roosevelt Hospital to undergo a psych evaluation. Then she was brought to a Midtown police station. This morning, as I was reporting the story, she was still in the holding cell. Well, she has been moved from the cell to the courtroom. There are photos up online. You can see her in just a magical blonde wig that she's wearing. She has been to court. She is out. She has been released on her own recognizance. Just moments ago in New York City.
So we should look for a tweet any moment now, right?
Yes, yes. I'm looking forward to it. She's back on the streets. Here's the best part. Amanda told the judge that the bong the cops say she threw out of her apartment window...
Yes.
...was, wait for it, just a vase. It wasn't a bong. It was a vase. Which begs the question, why did you throw a vase out the window?
Right.
I always hated that vase. No, she didn't say that, but yeah, that's the plan.
Okay.
Couldn't they find pieces of it in the street and that would easily be refuted?
Of course, yeah. Prosecutors asked that Bynes be held in lieu of $1,000 bail, but the judge let her go without bail, just gave her a stern warning. He said, "Miss Bynes, don't be so effing crazy." So she left in a taxi cab from the courtroom. Can't wait for the further proceedings. I'm sure she'll have to return to face the charges, but...
That's baloney.
Good times.
It doesn't make sense.
Good times.
That must have been a moment of party.
It was a moment of party, Kevin. I think she should be put in a facility for a while.
I guess if you're not a danger to yourself, they can't lock you up as
or
an adult.
Or others. She's a danger to bongs.
She does.
I know that much. She's a danger to herself and bongs.
And you don't know, man, because you weren't there.
I was there. Hey, the world premiere of the new Lifetime cable movie, Jodi Arias' Dirty Little Secret, has an air date.
Okay.
June 22nd.
Why not just get Amanda Bynes to play Jodi Arias? We can just take care of everything at once.
Good point. It's a two-hour movie about Jodi and her horror show that was her relationship with her boyfriend. And then that will be followed by an hour-long documentary called Jodi Arias Beyond the Headlines. So they are milking this for all it's worth. I'm a little fed up with her.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
I'm done with that. And while we're still doing walking the crime beat, as it were, with the Showbiz Beat, great story that involves show business and violence. A couple in York County, Pennsylvania, I know it well, York and upstate Pennsylvania, faced charges after they stabbed each other during an argument over which contestant should win American Idol.
Wow.
You're going to find out this hard to believe, but authorities say alcohol was involved. Police say 48-year-old Karen Harrelson and her boyfriend, 57-year-old Greg Stombaugh, were watching American Idol when they got into a drunken argument over which contestant, Candace Glover or Cree Harrison, should win the American Idol title for that season.
Because, Ralph, it really matters.
One of them went into the kitchen, grabbed a knife, and stabbed the other one. Then the other grabbed the knife away from them and stabbed the other one. Each is blaming the other for stabbing first. They remain in jail on assault charges. So,
did they mix their water with, or their alcohol with water ice, Ralph?
If you ever talk during my showbiz beat again, I will beat you.
Yeah, that's not needed for you to jump in at any time to assist, Muggs.
Let's take a look.
Your job is to sit on the bench.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. UFC fighter Frank Mir is 34 years old today. Actress Allison Hannigan is 39 years old. She's
remember when she
so
used
adorable.
To like us?
Yeah, she used to come on the show and she'd
yeah.
call in.
She's adorable.
She'd be nice.
Yeah,
she's adorable.
She once stuck a flute in my butt.
Right?
She did that.
One time at band camp, right?
No, we had a breakfast with American Pie.
Yep.
We had the cast on, and she had her flute with her, and she put it in my butt. Good times. I miss that flute. John C. Reilly, 48 years old today.
It did come back out at some point, didn't it?
I don't know. We're still waiting for it to pass. You should hear me fart, though. Alfred Molina, 60 years old today. Tommy Chong, since we're talking about bongs so much. Chong's bongs. He got arrested for that and went to prison. Because he made bongs. What kind of world do we live in? She should be... Manabine should go to prison for murdering a bong. He's
right.
making... He's creating life. She's ending right. life. 75 years old. And singer Bob Dylan is 72 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's one of my new favorite live bands after seeing them again at the Weenie Roast recently. Imagine Dragons here on the world-famous K-Rock, and you can see them in Tokyo, Japan, along with Muse, Metallica, Smashing Pumpkins, Linkin Park, and more. It's the Summer Sonic Festival, and it's K-Rock's festival flyaway destination number one. Your chance to get on the standby boarding list coming up in about, oh, I don't know, 6 minutes from right now here on the world-famous K-Rock. I'm always happy when any political campaign is done, Lisa. Nothing drags on longer than when somebody's running for office. Am I right?
Oh, and my phone rings yes. and rings with those robocalls, and
yes.
the amount of stuff they send you in the mail is just stupid.
It's maddening. And almost no one votes for something that's not a presidential election or the same being held the same year as presidential. I mean, I think for the Los Angeles mayor, for instance, I think it was less than 20% voter turnout.
That's so sad.
But we do have a new mayor, and it is Eric Garcetti. And he met with the outgoing mayor, Mayor Villaraigosa, recently, because they're getting ready to make that transition of power like we do. And the stories are starting to come out about what Mayor Villaraigosa is going to do next. And I love this headline. Report, Mayor Villaraigosa didn't save any money casting really wide net for jobs. First line of the article in the LA Weekly, is the highest paid mayor in the United States broke?
Whoa, what?
Because, you know, you're the mayor and you get your travel taken care of and
yeah.
you get a car and you get, Laker tickets and you get all sorts of perks being that guy. And then all of a sudden you get none of that when you leave office. What do? You've got to have a job. I mean, if you're going to try to live in that lifestyle, you've got to find a pretty damn good job in order to be able to live like that. So I don't know what Mayor Villaraigosa has planned, but we thought we'd get him on the horn and find out. And he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Mr. Mayor.
What's going on there?
Where are you? Where are you, Mayor?
What?
Where are is that Motley Crue girls I hear?
Girls. Body counts where I lost my heart.
Okay, hold on, Mayor. Hold on a sec. Are you in a? First of all, are you in a strip club?
I'm in a strip club. Yes.
You are.
I'm
okay,
in a strip club. I think I'm in Belize.
In Belize.
You think you're in Belize?
Why are you firing a machine gun in a strip club?
Because there's geese flying all over the strip club. I gotta kill the. I think they're ducks. Oh, there's bugs crawling all over me.
Okay, what's happening?
I'll take a bullet. Fly,
pelican. Are you on drugs?
Yeah, I'm on drugs, okay. I love that. Yeah, yo, come, I snort it all up.
Here's a...
Oh, God.
Here's a quote from the LA Weekly article. His friends are so concerned because he's lived so flamboyantly and spent basically so much of other people's money on a very, very costly lifestyle. He's lived far better than Governor Jerry Brown and more flamboyantly than actual multimillionaire Mayor Richard Reardon.
Are you done talking? Jeez.
Well,
why don't you read the whole article?
The suggestion is that you've been living it up.
Is this, are you really putting this on your show right now? Oh, sure. Oh, Lisa May.
Yes.
Oh, how are you doing, baby?
I'm doing good. And so are you.
You should come into my hot tub.
Why are you breathing so hard?
Because I feel like my heart. I feel like my heart is going to burst out of my chest.
Yes.
Like it.
Well, maybe fewer drugs next time.
Oh, I'm thinking about buying a pink berry. What do you
buying
think?
A pink berry?
And
that's
that would be your new job?
That's
know.
Your new plan?
I love pink berry.
Well, the truth of the matter is you're going to be out of work at the end of the month and you're broke. What are you going to do? Seriously, what's the plan? It's not Pinkberry.
I think maybe I'll be like a bat boy for the Dodgers. Or maybe like I'll be a roadie for Santana.
I don't think that pays very much.
And the truth be told,
yeah,
I got plenty of money. You just don't know about it. I got friends at the Cayman Islands. I got friends in Switzerland.
I see.
Got a frogman making trips in a submarine. Every other day, he swims my money down to Cuba.
Now,
forget about the Colombians. They don't know me.
Sure. Mr. Mayor, I don't know if you're done with politics, but is there anything that Mayor Garcetti can do for you? You met with...
Garcetti! You want to talk to me about Garcetti?
Yeah, your successor, right, in the mayor's office.
You do know his mom's a bitch.
What?
Eric Garcetti's mom's a whore.
Why are you saying this?
James Vanderbeek made a Shiza movie with Eric Garcetti's mom.
What?
What the hell is going on here?
What are you talking about?
Mr. Mayor, you okay?
Tyler Perry and I made Eric Garcetti's mom airtight.
All right, so that was said.
Yeah. Magic Johnson has sex with Eric Garcetti's mom, Raw Dog. That's right.
That's a terrible thing.
Oh,
she's a terrible woman.
She's a puta.
What's wrong with Eric Garcetti? I don't even understand why your hatred of her.
I was coming out of a bar in an alleyway. I saw Yo-Yo Ma and Burt Reynolds making Eric Garcetti's mom into a bitch kebab.
None of that happened.
Snoop Dogg sold Eric Garcetti's mom to Danny Trejo.
Okay, what's happening here? Why all the hate?
Hallucinating.
Danny Trejo! He was machete.
I'll
always be the mayor. You can't take the city away from me.
You're only going to be mayor for a couple of more weeks. Listen, we got to go.
You want to hear a joke?
I guess,
maybe I'll become a stand-up comedian. Listen to this.
Okay.
Hold on. Knock, knock!
Who's there?
Eric Garcetti's mom.
Eric Garcetti's mom.
Eric Garcetti's mom's a dumb whore. Go Raiders!
Go Raiders. Banjos are still a thing. That's still happening, right?
Hell to the yeah.
We're still all into that. We're all in, right?
Word.
Okay. Ralph is here. Time for our very final look at the showbiz beat for this week on the Kevin and Bean Show.
You all right?
What happened there?
Okay. Just moving my mic. Had trouble. Sorry.
Showbiz. Speaking of strokes, Tim Curry, one of my favorites.
Love him.
Apparently suffered a major stroke at 67. He's recovering here in Los Angeles, and I hope he's okay, according to his people. And here's the thing. You can never trust the people, because the people were the ones who told us that Kurt Cobain had a head cold.
That's true.
But they say it hasn't affected his ability to speak, and apparently he's able to move. So it was a serious stroke, but he is recovering, and apparently the damage was minimal, so the best-case scenario. But
listeners would best know Tim Curry from?
Well, Rocky Horror Picture Show, I still think, is probably his biggest role. But he was in, he's been in a ton of movies.
I know, and I can't think of any of them, but he's been in a ton. You're right.
If you saw him, you absolutely would know him.
Yeah.
I'm terrified of Clue, strokes. Terrified. That's one of the things that you never know. It comes out of nowhere. You don't see it coming. Boom, you're just laid out, and it could be so, so bad.
What, Ralph?
No, just terrified of strokes. I mean,
aren't you? Isn't everybody?
You're more terrified of death than you are of strokes?
Of course. Okay. But I mean, a stroke, I mean, literally any one of us could have a stroke today, and it could change our life forever. We might not be able to talk or walk or anything.
Enjoy the Memorial Day weekend, everybody. Have a good holiday.
Scary, man. I just worry about stuff like that.
Afraid of Fabrizio Moretti?
See, beer mug, because he's in the strokes. You don't get it, man.
Don't get it. Amanda Bynes, she is out of jail.
AmandaPlease.com.
It all happened last night. She was arrested in her Manhattan apartment after the cops were called by a doorman in her building who said she was smoking pot in the lobby. Cops show up. She lets them into her apartment. The cops spot a bong. She takes the same said bong and tosses it out the window. Throws it out the window. Officers don't like that. Charged her with tampering with evidence, which it was the minute the cops spotted it. Also charges of reckless endangerment. It could have been somebody underneath that window who would get a head full of bong. You don't want that.
No, you don't.
She also got popped for criminal possession of marijuana. Don't you know who I am, is what she reportedly yelled at the cops during the arrest. She was taken to a hospital to undergo a psych evaluation, then to the police station this morning. She appeared in court. The prosecutors are asking for a $1,000 bail. The judge said, nah, just let her go.
Really?
Yeah. She was released on her own recognizance. She'll have to, of course, appear in court to face the charges, but she caught a cab home, and I'll tell you, she looks beautiful. You got to see the photos on TMZ of her in court.
I'd like to.
With, like, her wig on, like, sideways and stuff. It looks, it's the saddest thing ever.
Ralph, I'm going to call for some speculation on your part, but what do you think is wrong with Amanda Bynes? What's going on with her?
I can't tell. I can't tell. Sometimes people with, psychosis or mental disorders, they medicate themselves with booze and pot and stuff like that. So that might be what's happening here. Or she just might be an F-up. I can't distinguish. I can't tell whether she's mentally unstable or whether she's just loaded all the time. And that causes her to act like a nut job.
Yeah.
So.
Wow, that wig is something else. She looks like that little girl in The Ring.
Yeah. You don't want to see her crawling out of the well.
Right.
That bitch is crazy.
Bad news. Meanwhile, Lindsay Lohan, let's never forget about Lilo. Just because she's in the rehab doesn't mean she's not in the news. You know, it's so easy for us to move on to the flavor of the month. You know, oh, let's talk about Amanda Bynes. She's crazy. Let's not forget who the OG druggy crazy girl was, okay?
That's a little respect. That's right.
Respect. Lindsay Lohan told Piers Morgan in a famous interview before she went into rehab that she only did coke 4 or 5 times. Mm-hmm. And she had the bad luck of getting popped 2 out of those 5 times. It's a bad percentage. However, there is a drug dealer, former drug dealer, named David DJ Joseph, who tells Star Magazine that he personally sold Lindsay between $10,000 and $15,000 worth of cocaine and Molly, the pharmaceutical grade of ecstasy. And eventually he said he had to cut her off. He wouldn't do business with her any longer.
Because she wouldn't pay him?
Well, no. It's because he thought she was going to ingest a deadly cocktail of the two drugs.
Oh.
And he really thought she was going to kill herself, and then they were going to come to him.
Yeah.
And then they were going to start asking questions. He said he's not in the business of helping people kill themselves. It's bad for business when they die.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah. When your drug dealer says, you know what? I'm starting to feel bad about this. I'm not going to sell you any more drugs. You have a drug problem.
Right.
But just 3 or 4 times.
Who wants them?
I do. What do you got? A&E Network has announced, sadly, they're pulling the plug on the show Intervention. After 13 seasons.
Wow.
There are still 5 shows from last season left to air, which will begin airing on June the 13th. But Intervention was a fascinating show about families confronting their loved ones, friends and families confronting their loved ones, telling them the damage that drugs or alcohol abuse had done to them. And 243 interventions.
Wow.
Were documented on the show through from
they never
2005.
Got to Karex Kevin. That
never got
there. Still on the docket.
How can
never...
they quit? How can they quit when they still have that white whale out there in the ocean?
Never shot that episode. TMZ
did... Intervention. I'm sorry, go ahead, B.
I was just going to say, TMZ did point out in their story on the Intervention that it gave us one of the greatest television moments of all time. You remember the guy? You know the guy I'm talking about?
That's where I was going with my story.
I apologize. You want to take it?
It was the greatest cry ever heard on television. All right, well, that's done.
Yes.
He's not happy.
God.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind? Yeah. That just happened.
If you got him and Darth Vader together in the same room, it would just be the best no-off you've ever witnessed in your life.
Do we have time for the auto-tune? Because I got that up if we want to hear
some
of that.
Because I know somewhere deep down in my heart, I still love you.
Still better than any of Fair Abraham's songs, I'll tell you that much.
No!
There we go. Darth's intervention. We think you're using a little bit too much of the dark side of the force, Darth. We want to have a conversation with you. I love you in my heart.
No!
Today's celebrity birthdays. Frank Mir of the UFC is 34 years old today. Allison Hannigan is 39. John C. Reilly turns 48 years old today. Alfred Molina is 60. Legendary singer-songwriter Bob Dylan, good friend of our show, is 72 years old. And with all this bong talk, how appropriate that Tommy Chong celebrates his 75th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, I guess we're doing this instead.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Everybody's in a hurry. Got a really big show on Tuesday. Hope you'll come back and listen.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I was excited to mention that Isla Fisher was going to be with us on Tuesday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Your mug calls the shots now.
Yeah.
Pass it over to me.
Also, ask a gigolo in the 8 o'clock hour.
Roll another one.
Tuesday show. Come back.
Tuesday, right.
Just like the other one.
Hey.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Amanda, please stop calling.
I need another hit.
Well, must be psychosomatic.
Now, don't worry. That's just a fancy doctor word for your brain is broken. Unfortunately, there's no field of medicine that deals with the brain.
Roll another.
That must have been a moment of party.
Just like the other one.
35 for a white guy.
Seems to be about sense.
Why don't you go back to your home on Whore Island?
I had an immediate urge to fling off my bikini.
Well, it's not all bad. At least you got a cherry coke.
Bean, can you turn your gain down slightly, please?
Why don't you turn your head down slightly?
Yes. Good
luck. Yes. Yay, it's over.
Get out?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
It's a colloquial way of saying you're fired, Kevin, which you are.
All right, good. Say goodbye, Doe. Goodbye, Doe. I need some babes. Maybe Kevin and Bean can pay for it. Oh, hells yeah.
You know how they say it's been a pleasure? It hasn't.
Where are you going?
I'm getting the hell out of Dodge, kid. And so should you.